We are New York. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77. WABC.
You can go. You can start all over again. You could try to find a way to make another day go by. You can hide.
WABC, and we are thrilled to have you on what's going to be a tremendous Thursday edition of the best talk show in New York City, and that's us. We are Bernie and Sid with our boss, Ted Lopez, in studio. Ted Lopez comes in at like 6 o'clock in the morning. He's ready to just kick ass. It's beautiful.
He is, yeah. He's doing push-ups. He's doing burpees. Oh, and he's kicking people in the ass.
That's what he does. He's a great boss.
He motivates people.
Big motivator.
You got to look.
Now the shirt's
look
coming
the shirt,
off.
Look at this.
Oh, that's not bad, by the way.
Wow. Look
that's
at
not
that.
A bad bicep,
he's flexing. Why are you flexing, bro? Why are you flexing?
So, you know what I get him going? I go, every morning, his daughter, Gabby, who does a really great job for Frank and Juliet. She does a great job. So every morning, she takes a picture of me. And it's my jacket or my socks, and she's always putting on Instagram how sharp I am. I said, you really want to piss your father off today? On the next Instagram picture, just put the caption, this is the guy that's sharper than my dad, dot, dot, dot. And her quote to me was, she goes to me, I'll do that, but are you ready to adopt me? But Chad is a very, very sharp guy. Looks great. That's a nice bicep, by the way, boss. Damn.
Yeah,
I didn't know you had that.
And a couple of tats. Well-placed tats that we can't talk about.
He's a legitimate war hero. All kidding aside. So thank you for your service, Chad, not only here but for our great country. So good morning, Bernard. How are you,
Sid
buddy?
Sid Rosenberg. I'm great, man. I'm great. I'm looking forward to this weekend. Going to take down the Christmas decorations.
Oh, that's nice.
The lights, throw out the tree. Finally.
Yeah.
And, you know, clean up the house.
You laugh about that, but I've told you this story many times. When I lived in Boca, I had a neighbor of mine. His name was Tommy, and he worked for Clear Channel. Ironically, he did sales for Clear Channel, selling radio down in Florida. And he would put – he lived alone, no wife, no kids, in his 40s, successful guy, big house. And he would put Santa and the reindeers and all this stuff on his lawn, and it would be April, Memorial Day. And the stuff would still be up, and the neighbors were complaining. I didn't care. He was two houses away from me. I never cared. But the neighbors would complain to the, what do you call that, like the committee, the, you know, all
the
these.
City council or whatever.
The board, the board.
The
thank
board,
you. You know,
the
all
board.
These annoying Yenta Jews. And I can say that because I'm Jewish. And they would yell at him every year.
I object. But anyway, yes.
You can't say that?
No, that's fine. I can you can say it and I can object and we're good.
So he would get this letter every year to take down his stuff. And he wouldn't do it. As soon as he got the letter, then he, like another month he would keep it up.
Yeah.
At that point, it's like telling a kid, don't put your hand on the stove.
Right,
watch me.
Yeah, you're going to do it. Listen, there was a story in Long Island. The people left their stuff up, and it was like 2 weeks after New Year's. It was still up, and they were getting hell for it. And it turns out that they left it up because their dad had just died of COVID. Oh. And he loved the Christmas decorations, and they wanted to keep it up, you know, throughout the month of January. So it backfired on the Yentas.
There
you
go.
Will.
Talking about COVID, Andrew Cuomo, you know, there was a time when there was no Bernie and Sid show without President Trump. And now it's at the stage where there's no Bernie and Sid show without Andrew Cuomo, his mea culpa, if you will, his apology yesterday. And I thought what you said to me this morning on the pre-show video, Bernie, was really funny in that, hey, congratulations to Andrew. He finally earned his Emmy Award.
That's right. We've been calling, people have been saying, return the Emmy or they should recall the Emmy or whatever. And at this point, I say, scratch that. Let him keep the Emmy because that performance yesterday, he got it prematurely, that's true, but he earned it yesterday. He finally earned it. And I mean, he's just crying. I didn't mean to hurt anybody. I'm so ashamed. I'm embarrassed. What would my daddy think? I can't even drive over the Mario Cuomo Bridge anymore. The women. But the old people, who cares? They're old. They're going to die anyway. Who the hell cares about them?
Yeah.
That's a Governor Cuomo.
No, that's him. And that's what I keep telling people. They're like, he's going to resign. you couldn't sound more ridiculous. There's not a chance in hell he's going to resign.
There's no way.
No chance.
Because legally, it would be a tacit admission of guilt.
Correct. And there's even a lesser chance he's going to be impeached. These are the facts. We've done this before, this dance. He's going to prison. She's going to prison. He's not going to prison. The odds of him being impeached are very, 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 very minuscule. He's not going to resign. He's going to live out the rest of this gubernatorial. And then his career is what's going to be destroyed here. He'll never win any office ever again. His designs on the presidency are out the window. But yesterday you saw the arrogance of Cuomo. I'm not going anywhere. And this is just one big misunderstanding. I'm a kissy, touchy-feely guy. Doesn't make me a rapist.
Right, but the fact that this is the focus, this is what, had the media reach this crescendo, the front page of the New York Post again, over three women who were, quote-unquote sexually harassed, not good at all, but nothing, the 15,000 elderly people in the cover-up, that's secondary. That's almost, that's tertiary. Nobody really cares about that. That's the real crime, and that's what people should be outraged about. He says he didn't inappropriately touch, and you have the front page of the New York Post. CNN right now has him having the girl. He has the two hands on the girl.
But that's not an inappropriate touch. It's a little aggressive, but it's not an inappropriate touch. Him touching her face.
Right. It's not her buttocks.
Right. Exactly.
But either way, he did touch her. Listen.
No, he never said he didn't touch people. He said, I do touch people. He goes, I've kissed men and women.
If you touch me on the face, that's inappropriate. That's invading my space.
Yeah, it's not really.
I'll punch you in, not you, I'll punch you in the face if you grab me in the face like that.
All right.
So you can take your midnight rambling board. You can keep your winding roads. She's living inside my heart now.
6:42 on your Thursday morning. Bob Seger from the great movie About Last Night, Living Inside My Heart. You remember the naked, the silhouette of the naked Demi Moore in the kitchen with the also naked Rob Lowe, John O'Halloran's favorite part. In this movie About Last Night, with this song playing in the background. We got a great guest list today starting at 7:40, Joseph D'Onofrio. Joe had a really big part in the movie A Bronx Tale. He also played the young Tommy, the young Joe Pesci, in the movie Goodfellas. But most importantly, he's going to star alongside me in Gravesend as we shoot season number 2 starting in Miami in 3 weeks. So Joe D'Onofrio is going to stop by at 7:40. Then, of course, it's Thursday, Bill O'Reilly. He'll be here at 8:40. And then a really cool mother-daughter combination, Jen and Letitia Romero. Jen's been in many, many times. She's good friends with the real Tina. But her mom, Letitia, is actually running for Staten Island Borough President. And they've got some issues with the governor. So Jen and her mom, Letitia, live in studio coming up at 9:25 this morning.
Very honored to have them. Yesterday we were talking, we were celebrating, you and I, the reopening of a couple of states, Mississippi and Texas, and we're saying how great it was. And you would think that the people in the positions of power, they'd say, well, I don't agree with it, but good luck, Godspeed, and it's the state's rights to do it. Do you remember Trump said, I'm going to take charge, and everybody said, no, you're not. It's the states take charge. And that's what they do. Under our federalist system, the states take charge. So Texas has deemed it appropriate to reopen at this point. And instead of the good luck and Godspeed and hope it works out, you get a lot of name calling, even from the president of the United States.
I think it's a big mistake. The last thing we need is the Neanderthal thinking that in the meantime, everything's fine. Take off your mask. Forget it. It still matters.
Neanderthal thinking is what he said. And not just an honest disagreement or science. By the way, the science is on the side of the governor of the state of Texas.
But he's got to remain consistent. Look, again, President Trump was on the other side of this, and you and I agree with President Trump. He's got to remain consistent, Bernie. He wants you to wear a mask for 100 days, maybe two masks. So I'm okay with what Biden said. Greg Popovich, the coach of the Spurs, I'm not. You're a basketball coach. Go win games and shut up. Biden, at least, has been consistent. Well, he didn't change his mind now.
That's fair. Fair enough. But to call names, Neanderthal thinking.
What about calling names, really?
Yeah.
With the guy that was in office for the last 4 years?
When we're talking about something as serious as this, Neanderthal thinking. And by the way, Excuse me, why is Joe Biden still wearing a mask? Didn't he get vaccinated about a month ago?
Oh, listen, we know he's an idiot and a hypocrite, and he doesn't know anything. We know all that stuff, but now, I'm going to have to take you to task when you're going to yell at somebody for calling people names
when you still pray to the altar of Donald Trump. But listen, instead, again, this is a serious thing. Good luck, Godspeed, not Neanderthal thinking. That's the way I would have handled it, and we'll see what happens. And if it doesn't turn out well, then you can pounce on them and call them names and criticize them all they want. Listen, the same thing.
I actually tweeted something yesterday, which I saw you either retweeted or liked. At Real Bernard McGurk 1. Is that what Bernie's thing is? At Real Bernard McGurk 1. And I said, I never thought I'd say this, but I'd rather live in Mississippi or Texas. And I got hate mail. They're like, why, idiot? They have more cases there. You have a better chance of getting COVID there. Why would you want to live in Mississippi and or Texas? So not just President Biden or Greg Popovich, even my innocent tweet, I got hate responses.
Well, you would get it from Fredo Cuomo and Joy Reid on the fake news. Listen to these two.
This is part of this prevailing, you know, macho sentimentality that strong and wrong is the way to go.
The Texas governor said, COVID be dead. Everybody go ahead and open up. And you get some COVID, and you get some COVID, and you get some COVID, and you get some COVID.
Now, of course, the major hypocrisy is that the Biden administration has allowed over 100 illegal aliens to come in. They tested positive for coronavirus, for COVID, and then they put them on buses after they tested positive to come to Maryland, to come to New Jersey, to come to New York. So the Neanderthal thinking, I'm sorry, that doesn't cut past muster here.
All right, Bernie and Sid with you on this Thursday. Again, great guest list and all the exciting things we got going on throughout the show, from Lydia Reports to Sid the Sports Savant to Beat Bernie, Joe DiNofrio, Bill O'Reilly, and the mother-daughter combination of Jen and Letitia Romero, all stopping by today. So yesterday, Bernie and I had live in studio our new buddy, Danny Zoldan. Danny owns Stand Up New York, one of the great comedy clubs you've got here in New York. Came in with his buddy, Larry Sharp. And yes, he did love the pictures that Bernie and Matt Meany put on Instagram wearing his hat, Legalized Comedy. Well, if you think it's a coincidence that Danny and Larry left this studio at about 9:45 a.m. and 3 hours later, Andrew Cuomo said, you can reopen on April 2nd to 33% capacity. If you think that's a coincidence, you're either naive or stupid or maybe both.
That's life.
That's right. So what we're saying is Bernie and I are taking credit. We are taking credit for Danny Zoldan and all the comedy clubs that can now open to one-third capacity. We are taking credit for making that happen right here.
Without a doubt. He was here, and we screamed and yelled, and we have a lot of juice. We had thousands of people show up at 30 Rock Saturday night to protest anti-Semitism, and that was just the latest. And then, of course, yesterday, Danny Zoldan, the owner of Stand Up New York. And by the way, were you able to get that audio? No. I heard Danny Zoldan, and he says that this 33%, he can't make any money off it, but he can cover his costs. So there's light at the end of the tunnel, pretty much. Echoing what the governor said, play Cuomo 4. He said the same thing, because it was Cuomo yesterday that now all of a sudden he's throwing out little crumbs to the, to the subjects out there. You can reopen here, you can reopen there, because I'm in trouble. This is what he said.
Light at the end of the tunnel. The light at the end of the tunnel is in sight. We've had critical moments all through this period.
Still sounds like he's crying.
But this is one of the most critical moments.
Yeah, this is, I'm doing it for you because, I feel so bad. I want to help you people out. You took away my powers. At the end of the month, the powers are going away. Maybe tomorrow. I don't know. Who cares about the old people?
That's that for Mr. Kim.
He's a psycho.
He is. And the power is going away. That's not even true. He still has the power to do stuff.
No, until maybe tomorrow.
No, even if they strip him of his emergency powers, I think he can still get stuff done. I believe that's the case.
Listen, I don't know. I really don't know. I think, well, whatever. The state legislature will make that move tomorrow. But the way I was just lampooning him, I swear to God, I really believe that's the way he behaves.
Yeah, you're right.
In the governor's mansion during the meetings, he's whimpering. One moment, and then he's flying off the handle at the next. And Melissa DeRosa's crying over there in the corner.
She probably is. She's terrified of this guy. Well, you know what? While you're doing that, let's grab these two calls quickly because they are talking about exactly what you're talking about, Bernard. Don is in Glen Cove. He's on line one. He wants to talk about the governor. Good morning, Don. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Really love your show. And, Sid, my condolences to your loss.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Hey, listen, but I wanted to talk about the governor. I mean, the governor, he says, I didn't touch her. I didn't touch anybody inappropriate. I mean, so when is that the new standard for sexual harassment is touching? I mean, come on. The other thing is, I mean, this death thing, the message is there's a 15,000 massacre. And that's really the message is forget about the women. It's the massacre that counts. And so every day you should be talking. I hope you talk more about, hey, there's a 15,000 massacre. Oh, and oh, by the way.
Listen, the facts are the facts, Don. We talked about it every day. We had Janice Dean, who lost both of her in-laws on time and time again, crying. It didn't mean anything. The truth is, as sad as it is, it really didn't blow up here for Andrew Cuomo until these women came out. The 15,000 dead, he was still hanging out on MSNBC and CNN, yucking it up. It wasn't until the women came out that all of a sudden he was exposed. Sad, but Don, that's the truth. Bottom line.
Yeah. And then as far as touching people inappropriately, he actually threw his dad under the, he actually said, my father used to do the same thing and nobody said anything then. I'm so ashamed. I'm so embarrassed. I didn't know. I didn't mean to hurt anybody except Ron Kim. I'm going to destroy him. You understand me? But the women, that's a different thing. I didn't mean, please, me too, leave me alone. Let me finish out my term. I beg you, I'm on my knees. Melissa, where are you?
He does go from upset and apologetic to mob boss in 60 seconds.
Which is why I say he can keep the Emmy because of that performance. Yesterday.
Unless
that was the performance. He's a psychopath.
Right. If he wasn't acting, if he's just crazy. But you know, if he's not acting.
He's a smart psychopath.
Yes, he is.
You know,
yes.
It's calculated. He knows exactly what he's doing.
I agree. One more quick call, 60 seconds. Our friend Bob in Levittown. Good morning, Bob.
What's up, boys? Hey, Sidney, I'm sorry about your family member there. That's
Thank
terrible.
You, Bob. Thank
and,
you.
You know, we're always thinking of you.
Thank
but, you.
You
know, you guys, I mean, I spoke to you guys. I'm the fake news is not essential guy. I mean, we've been doing this now for a year. And now it's time for Cuomo's chickens to come home to roost. I mean, if karma isn't a thing, then I don't know what this is. But it's about time that we watch this guy crumble. And when I watch the left eat the left, there is nothing better than that. I don't care what kind of episode of reality television, when they eat each other, it is the most glorious feeling for us conservatives who've been in this fight for over a year.
And by the way, the Democrats, none of them have been mollified by this non-apology yesterday. If I offended you and I'm so ashamed of it. None of them. They were all the long knives are out still, so he's not out of the woods at all whatsoever.
What does that mean, out of the woods?
Well, I mean, as far as the incurring their wrath. They didn't say, okay, it's good. He apologized. This is good.
No,
this
that
fine.
Didn't happen. No. You're right. Did not happen that way. All right. We got, once again, we've got Joe D'Onofrio and Sid the Sports Avant at 7:40. Lydia Report's coming up at 8:25. The great Bill O'Reilly at 8:40. Jen and Letitia Romero coming up at 9:25. And Beat Bernie coming up at 9:40. A very exciting 3 hours about to come your way.
Back on the Bernie Sid Show, heard everywhere in the 77 WABC app. Also simulcast on News Talk 107.1 FM out on Eastern Long Island. They found her dogs. They still didn't find the people who shot the dude in the chest, but that's really secondary, isn't it? As long as she has her dogs back, she offered a $500,000 reward. Did Lady Gaga, who we're speaking about right now. Hey, look, today is March 4th, by the way. This is the original inauguration day. Congress has actually adjourned. They actually canceled their sessions today because they're worried about another insurrection. A bunch of garbage, a bunch of crap, a bunch of propaganda, a narrative that they're pushing. Nothing is going to happen today. Exciting chatter online. Give me a break. Two screwballs down, on the internet. And they cancel their sessions in Congress. Though they voted last night for a horrible voting rights bill. We'll talk about it all as the show unfolds on the Bernie and Sid Show. Is this all?
Later on this morning, folks. Coming up at 9:40, we're going to play Peerless Boilers. Beat Bernie. Your chance to go up against the smartest man in New York. And that is my partner and best buddy, Bernie McGurk. That comes up at 9:40.
Well, thank you, but I deny the allegation. I appreciate it, though.
Now, you know, talking about Peerless Boilers, I do have to make mention of this. Folks that know Peerless Boilers, so many of you out there have done business with them over the years. I miss talking about them, me talking about them, Bernard. In fact, I actually do Peerless Boilers commercials in ESPN New York for the Rangers, up in Boston for the Patriots. On this station, they still play my Peerless Boilers Giants spot on WFAN. So we're everywhere. And the man that makes it happen is a dear friend of both me and Bernie. And his name is Pete Morgan. Pete had some surgery yesterday, had some hip issues. And he wanted to tell me, and the listeners, and you, Bernie, that his physical therapist, is a huge, huge Bernie and Sid fan. His name is Bob Walsh. He's from Thornwood, New York, in southern Westchester County. He's an outstanding physical therapist. He treated Pete post-op all day yesterday. He listens every morning on his commute to Holy Name Hospital, which is a great hospital in Teaneck, New Jersey. He said the entire team is amazing, and they're all big Bernie and Sid fans. He said, thanks to Bob, I'll be able to visit WABC in a few weeks rather than a few months.
Wow.
So that's a very ringing endorsement there from Pete Morgan to Bob Walsh over at Holy Name Hospital in Teaneck, New Jersey.
And yes, Godspeed to our good friend. He's such a wonderful guy.
Great guy.
Pete Morgan, really salt of the earth. We've said it a million times, but it happens to have the added advantage of being true.
True.
Pete Morgan is hell of a good family man.
Loyal. Very loyal guy. His wife, yes, Maureen, is lovely. So, one other story I want to get to before we get back to the meat of the day with Cuomo. It's another huge story, especially here in New York. Huge story. And that is the Yankees. Their manager, Aaron Boone, their skipper. A lot of folks don't realize this, but 12 years ago, back in 2009, Aaron Boone had open heart surgery. So he's had an issue with his heart before. Well, he left the team yesterday. He went to Brett Gardner a couple of days ago and he said, I feel very tired. He said the same thing, I think, to Mike Ford. He left the team yesterday, and it turns out he had to have an emergency pacemaker placed in his body because, once again, he's having some heart issues. Here is Yankee GM, another good friend, Brian Cashman, on the latest, a bit scary here, with Yankee skipper Aaron Boone.
At first, when you hear pacemaker, you know, it kind of sets off a lot of alarms of concern. And it's why I wanted to try to provide a reassuring tone here, because if I could replicate Aaron Boone's demeanor, you know, the information sharing that he was providing, like, I literally felt so comfortable. And there'll be a newer, better version of Aaron Boone waiting on the returning to us in the next 48 hours. I know he'll feel so much better than he has, obviously, in the last, say, 2 months, because he has been paying attention to things that he's been experiencing, whether it's shortness of breath, being more tired during workouts, things of that nature.
So the Yankees did beat the Blue Jays in a spring training game yesterday. Corey Kluber, 2 innings of scoreless work, 3 strikeouts. Yankees excited about Kluber possibly being the number 2 starter behind Gerrit Cole. Aaron Boone should be back in 2 days. And for now, Carlos Mendoza will overlook the ball club until Boone is back, probably by Saturday.
Yeah, pacemaker these days, not a big deal. I know people, you know, that have them and live really active lives.
Yes.
I sound like a senior. But Aaron Boone, how old is the guy?
Aaron Boone is going to be 48 years old on Tuesday.
Wow, that is young for this type of thing.
So. He's already had open heart surgery. Aye, he was 36.
Aye. See how lucky we are, man?
We are?
You don't have anything if you don't have your health.
Oh, that's 100%
true. You really don't.
Yeah. We were talking about somebody.
And poor Pete Morgan sitting in the hospital.
Right, but he's
knows
fine.
That better than,
he's
I know,
fine.
He's okay.
He's got a hip issue, but you and I were talking about somebody who just died, had like billions of dollars.
Oh, yes. Rush Limbaugh. That?
Oh, Rush Limbaugh, right.
Rush, by the way, who had just had a private funeral.
Yeah.
Yeah, so exactly. You don't have anything if you don't have your health.
True.
And you keep that in mind, savor it, appreciate it. Listen, just quickly, 2 Patterson City Council members indicted on voter fraud charges.
Now, remember I told you this story. I have a buddy. I'm not going to mention his name. He's in New Jersey. And I told you months ago, the whole city council was getting arrested for fraud, but he didn't want me at the time to talk about it. But now that the election is over and Donald Trump is out of office, well, it seems like the perfect time to let everybody know that the whole council basically in Jersey, in Paterson, New Jersey, was fixing the local elections.
Right. And I pointed this out when they were investigating it at the time, months ago. And it was also cited by President Trump in his unsuccessful lawsuit to try to invalidate voting by mail in New Jersey. But they found hundreds of mail-in ballots in a mailbox in Paterson. They disqualified 800 votes. But this according to the fake news, the narrative is there is no voter fraud, no mail-in voter fraud. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. These prosecutors who are could put these two city council members away for about 10 years, they have to be domestic terrorists and white nationalists. There's no doubt about it. That's what they are if they're alleging voter fraud. How dare they? Speaking of which, January 6th still resonates. Today is March 4th. I mentioned that earlier. The Capitol building, the Washington, D.C., around the Capitol is like an armed fortress for no good reason. Some chatter, online chatter. They actually canceled the sessions in Congress today. They voted on a horrible voting bill last night, federalizes election laws, essentially normalizes what happened in the November election because of the pandemic. It normalizes all that crap and a million more things. No voter ID, a million, forget about it. I can't go through it right now. But they voted on that last night and they canceled all sessions today because they're worried that this March 4th, which was the original inauguration day up until 1933, is the day that the white nationalist, domestic terrorist Trump supporters come back and inaugurate Donald Trump as president. Now, I said it yesterday. I'll be on Colbert wearing a MAGA hat discussing Trump 2024 before that happens. Nothing is going to happen today. And speaking of January 6th, you had all these politicians and these fake news creeps talking about how it was an armed insurrection. As a matter of fact, let's just remind you. We have Dick Durbin, Dan Rather, Donang, Dick Blumenthal. Take a listen.
Just weeks ago, white nationalists helped lead an armed insurrection against our democracy.
That's absolute clarity. This was an armed insurrection.
An armed insurrection that was designed to stop counting votes and, in fact, assassinate members of Congress and the vice president.
So an armed insurrection. Now, that weirdo in the Viking hat, of course, He was hardly armed. And in fact, it turns out that nobody was armed. As a matter of fact, this top FBI official, this woman, she's like the number three in the FBI. She was questioned by Senator Ron Johnson yesterday. They've been testifying for a long time. Take a listen to this.
How many firearms were confiscated in the Capitol or on Capitol grounds during that day?
To my knowledge, we have not recovered any on that day from any other arrests at the scene at this point.
So nobody's been charged with an actual firearm weapon in the Capitol or on Capitol grounds?
Correct.
How many shots were fired that we know of?
I believe the only shots that were fired were the ones that resulted in the death of the one lady.
Yeah. Her name is Ashley Babbitt, by the way, FBI lady. You can say her name. Don't worry about it.
Poor lady.
So armed insurrection. So we've been fed a bunch of lies. Again, another hoax. What happened January 6th was terrible. All those people, the guy in the Viking hat, lock them up, but don't lie to us. Don't lie to us, which is what they're doing, essentially. And the reason why they're doing it, and we've been trying to get Glenn Greenwald unsuccessfully. He's a real liberal guy, but he's an old school liberal. He's for civil liberties. He's not for censorship, all that stuff, which is the reason why they're doing this, all this stuff, to paint all the Trump supporters domestic terrorists and then to censor them and take away their civil liberties, as Glenn Greenwald articulately points out. Take a listen.
And if they can create this framework going forward that the United States is facing people who want to overthrow it, that there's an armed group, a large group in the United States who believes in right-wing ideology and white nationalism threatening the very existence of the U.S. government, a total fraud, a total fiction. But if they can get people to believe that, they can start doing things like mass surveilling the citizenry and infiltrating groups and monitoring everybody, not just online, but in their private conversations. And that's absolutely what they are setting out to do.
So there you have it. We can't get Glenn Greenwald, but that's the nut of the topic right there. He nailed it. They're trying to label all of us and take away our rights and civil liberty. It really is a dangerous proposition an endeavor that they're engaged in, these Democrats. Last thing I'll say this, the vaccines are out. A herd immunity, Wall Street Journal, Dr. Marty McCarry, Dr. Nicole Sapphire. We're going to get back to normal this spring, yep, perhaps.
Maybe.
Texas and Mississippi have reopened. We're like, yeah, Texas and Mississippi, everybody's mad at them. But, I mean, half the country's mad at them.
Right.
Instead of wishing them good luck and Godspeed and saying, I hope it works out so we can do the same.
Good luck and Godspeed. I'm jealous.
But this is Joe Biden on his thoughts on when we're going to get back to normal.
When do you think things will get back to normal?
When do I think things will get back to normal? I've been cautioned not to give an answer to that because we don't know for sure. But my hope is by this time next year, we're going to be back to
next
normal.
Shut up.
Otherwise, it's Neanderthal thinking.
Right. Well, that's what they're doing right now on MSNBC. Biden criticizes Texas and Mississippi Neanderthal thinking with Al Sharpton talking to Willie Geis. It doesn't get worse than that. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Actor Joe D'Onofrio, the great Bill O'Reilly, and the mother-daughter combination of Letitia and Jen Romero. They own Staten Island. All that still to come on this very exciting Thursday edition of Bernie and Sid. I was here late taping some interview. Got why I was here late. You had already left. And there was a line from the bathroom, Bernie, which is about 15 feet away from us, maybe, all the way to the newsroom with all of our colleagues and coworkers and friends. And I'm like, the hell's going on here?
A line.
A line.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, we're testing for COVID. I'm like, come on. I've tested 8 times. I swear to you, I'm not exaggerating. 8 times. Twice in the hospital, 3 times at City MD, 3 times here. It's almost like you want me to get a positive test. I'm 0 for 8. If I was a baseball player, I'd never play again. I'm 0 for 8. So what did I do? Went to the front of the line and took it again. And just found out I am now 0 for 9. Once again, it came back negative. And I don't comply with any of these rules. I don't wear a mask, which is going to get me into trouble here at this station because there was an email that went out yesterday, some mandate, and I'm not going to follow it. So I'm either going to get suspended or fired or something, but I'm just not going to do it.
Well,
I am taking on the Mississippi, Texas.
We'll see how this plays out. But listen, let me just say this.
Why do you look so hot? Like you can't wait to see what happens. When they take me out of here, when security drags me out.
I predict you will wear a mask. You're going to have to.
Wait a second. Have I done it yet? What are you talking
about? No, you
haven't,
since the email came out.
Doesn't matter. The security will drag me out and Margot Katsimatidis will say, let him back in.
I don't look forward to it, but.
Yes, you do.
No, look at you.
I haven't seen you this excited since Trump won.
I don't want to wear a mask my damn self, but if the HR lady puts out an email and says you have to wear a mask when you're walking through the offices.
Right.
You have to wear a mask.
No. She's a lovely lady, by the way. She sent me
really nice.
Very nice. My nephew died. She sent me one of the nicest condolences I swear to God I've ever gotten. That's how much I really like this lady. She's great.
Don't try to butter her up.
Well, I mean, you're
trying to prejudice the jury right now.
Well, she's going to have to make a difficult decision to send me home or not to send me home.
Listen, by the way, you're lucky you're not traveling to China because any foreigner entering China... Mandatory COVID tests with anal swabs.
Yes.
Anal swabs.
Doesn't sound all that bad.
No. Maybe coming here, I mean, as I said before, make for an odd, like Jones Beach COVID testing site, people sticking their butts out the window.
No, they have to do is put one on like Christopher Street. Could you imagine the traffic on the West Side Highway?
well,
come on. But they do say that it's more accurate than your nose, your tushy.
Yes, they do. So it could be coming to America.
Well, we can only hope.
Coming to America, speaking of which, that movie comes out.
Number two,
on March 5th.
So I saw that, and I read in...
Tomorrow.
Yes, tomorrow. And I read a couple days ago that in the first Coming to America, which is, you cannot argue this, one of the great comedic films ever. Eddie Murphy, brilliant. Heck, even Arsenio Hall was great. James Earl Jones was great. In the first movie, they didn't want to have any white people in the movie. I swear to you.
No, they did not want
white people.
Right.
And the production studio made them put a young, fat Louis Anderson. You may remember he worked at the McDowell's, not McDonald's. He was at the counter.
Yeah.
They made him put him in the movie.
As a matter of fact, they gave Eddie Murphy and Arsenio three choices, and he was the guy they picked. And he's in the sequel, as a matter of fact. And we had him on the show, you and I, Louis Anderson. I'm shocked that he's still alive. This is the most unhealthy guy. You talk about morbidly obese.
I don't even know. He hasn't done anything relevant since, like, Family Feud. Well, that's why he was on.
He is now. He's in Coming to America, too.
Oh, he got back in it?
Yeah, he's in the sequel.
He still works at McDowell's?
I don't know what character. I'm sure that's the character. They're reprising it, yes. So there'll be another white guy in the movie, and it will be Louis Anderson. Listen. Just quickly, and we'll get to more Cuomo later on. But, you know, this Cuomo-De Blasio feud has been going on for a long time. De Blasio actually worked for Cuomo during the Clinton administration, in the Clinton administration, when Cuomo was the HUD secretary. De Blasio was a minor bureaucrat there. And then, of course, they went out when De Blasio became mayor. De Blasio helped Cuomo try to run for governor, and then the first time, and he lost, subsequently won. But then the feud started. I mean, it started back when, I don't know, a bunch of stupid minor things about rail yards or whatever the hell it is, the beef over expanding Uber in the city that they had. And then De Blasio finally said, if you disagree with Cuomo, he engages, and he used the word, quote-unquote, vendettas against you. He said that in 2015, you know, like the mob, vendettas. And on it went. The homeless issue, the topless women in Times Square, the deer. Remember the deer that was caught roaming around Harlem?
I do.
And Cuomo, De Blasio wanted to euthanize it. Cuomo said no. And then anyway, the deer just ended up dying from stress. But they upstage each other till this day. They hate each other's guts. And yesterday, Cuomo took the opportunity to shoot back at De Blasio for criticizing him over the women's thing. Take a listen.
And you also have New York City, which is in a very precarious situation. It's teetering, to use a word. Crime is way up. Homelessness is way up. Many people have left New York City. We have to get New York City functional again and safe again. And viable again. Yeah. And we have to do that quickly.
Well, maybe you can repeal the no cash bail law that you
start there.
That you signed, you creep.
Idiot.
And yesterday, just quickly, Cuomo, we'll get into more of it later, but this audio is just gold, in my opinion. This guy crying yesterday, I don't mean to hurt anybody. I'm so ashamed. Take a listen.
I feel awful about it. And frankly, I am embarrassed by it, and that's not easy to say, but that's the truth.
I didn't mean it.
You can act like a man.
Daddy would think about this, but the old people, they were gonna die anyway. Who cares? Who cares, Melissa?
Who
where
cares?
Are you?
Who cares? That's life.
Yeah, now I'm gonna destroy Ron Kim. But the ladies, I'm so sorry I touched you. I touched you on the face. I really, what would Matilda, my mom, think? I'm so sorry. I can't even drive over the Mario Cuomo Bridge because I know my dad is looking down. I take the Taconic now. I take the Taconic instead of the throughway because I'm ashamed. I'm supposed to be crying right now, not mad. What am I doing?
Got a big dinner coming up tonight, actually. Heading out for dinner, which we could only really do here in the city for about 10 days. Going to head across the street, one of the fine steak places in all of New York City, Empire Steakhouse.
Nice.
And our good friend Chaz Palminteri is going to meet us. So have a little dinner with Chaz. And it's ironic I would bring up Chaz Palminteri and talk about dinner later on tonight because our next guest really arrived on the scene when he was in the movie A Bronx Tale. He did a great job playing Slick, which was one of Little C's and C's buddies. I think the Molotov cocktail ended up on his lap inside the car.
I remember that scene.
Yeah.
Very powerful.
And Joe was great in that. He also played the young Tommy in Goodfellas. He's been in 1,000 different movies. And now, of course, he's in Gravesend. And he'll be in Miami with me as we get set to film season number 2. Our good buddy William DeMeo has been there now for a couple of weeks, scouting out locations, going to dinner at Steve Matarano's place almost every night, living like a real cuisine down in Miami, William DeMeo. So here he is, great actor, and as I found out just a couple of days ago, a big fan of ours too, Joseph D'Onofrio. Joe, good morning, pal. How are you?
What's up, Joe?
Good morning. I'm doing fine. Thank you for having me on your great show this morning. How are you?
We're doing great, Joe. Thank you for hopping on. So I brought up the dinner with Chance tonight and your role as a Slick in A Bronx Tale. And Bernie and I asked this to everybody who comes on the show from that movie. And look, it had a great cast, Robert De Niro and Chance Palminteri. But do you have any idea when you made that almost 25 years ago that the movie would be the smash success that it still is now, almost 3 decades later?
No, I didn't. I had no idea. But I got to tell you, the movie is great, and I'm grateful to Chaz Palminteri for writing it and for using me as Slick. And like I always say, best gangster of all time, Sonny from A Bronx Tale.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you know, that was quite the character. Joseph, I'll ask you the same question about Goodfellas. I mean, you played young Tommy. Listen, you were in the movie, one of the greatest movies in cinematic history. I mean, you could retire now and sleep well at night. But the question is this, you worked with Marty Scorsese and all these guys. What was it like on the set of Goodfellas?
It was great. It was a memorable moment I'll never forget. And I'm so lucky to have a chance to work with those guys. And it's great to be, sometimes you see people on Facebook or Instagram, their top 5 movies. Most of the time it's Bronx Tale and Goodfellas, Bronx Tale and Goodfellas. So I'm grateful to be in a lot of, you know, good classics like that.
Absolutely.
Well, what about the jazz singer? How about a Jewish movie?
I'm half Jewish. I'm half Jewish. I'm a half Hungarian Jew and an Italian.
Are you really?
Yeah.
I had no idea. I don't see a lot of the Jewish part. Well, we haven't really hung out yet, so we're about to do that in Miami as we get set to film Gravesend. Last season was great, and now the amount of talent he's added for this season, from Armand DeSante to William Forsythe, Carmen Electra, Andrew Dice Clay. I'm not going to include myself because I've never acted before, but you did last season. You're doing this one, Joe. How about the amount of talent he's added to the cast?
William DeMeo knows how to add talent, and he knows how to see talent, and then just his writing and the way he does his acting, it's going to be amazing. I can't wait to get down to Miami and even in Brooklyn when they start filming. It's going to be a great show. I think 10 years from now, they're going to be saying great things about it.
Joseph D'Onofrio, he's going to be in the show Gravesend with Sid Rosenberg. Joseph, A Bronx Tale, Goodfellas, now The Gravesend. Do you ever feel like you're being typecast? Do you resent that?
No, I don't resent it as long as, you know, I keep getting work. But, I mean, I do play other things. I was on a comedy called Are We There Yet? It was a sitcom. I played Staten Island Mike. You know, I do stand-up comedy.
Nice.
And I love comedy. Comedy is my thing. That's my goal. I would love to be on a sitcom full-time, you know, making people laugh, like something like The Kings of Queens or Seinfeld or something like that.
Right.
There's not a lot of those sitcoms out there anymore. That's the problem. I mean, you know, 20 years ago, Joe, I don't know how old you are, but I'm in almost my mid-50s, and Bernie, of course, a little older than me. But it wasn't that long ago they had like 10 of those shows on TV. Now it's slim pickings, Joe.
I know. They're all on Netflix.
Hey, Joe, I grew up in, this is Bernie here, I grew up in the Bronx and Yonkers. I had a hard scrabble, if I may say so myself, upbringing. And a couple of transgressions. I violated the law. Now, you grew up in Brooklyn and you play these characters. Did you have a similar upbringing to me with the law and that type of thing?
Pretty much. Yeah, I grew up in a rough environment where I really didn't know about life too much. I just knew about how life was in the neighborhood. But as I grew up, I realized that, you know, you got to do things differently. Sometimes in your environment, what's going on isn't what's really going on in real life.
You're right.
I guess you know what I mean, right, Bernie?
I know you got to you got to catch yourself at some point. I caught myself, luckily, when I was like 21 years old.
Yeah.
Thank God at the last possible moment. But you're absolutely right, Joseph. You got to mature at some point, and before it's too late.
Yeah, if you don't grow up, you could end up in jail or dead. And if you don't, you know, realize what's going on, you know. Like you said, you got to grow up. And thank God I grew up and I learned my lesson when I was younger, too. And, you know, now I do the right thing for the right reasons.
Now, are you married? You have kids, Joe? No, right?
No, I was married. I got one daughter, 18. She goes to Hunter College. Thank God. She's great. She just got her GPA, 4.0, all A's.
All right.
How about that?
Congratulations.
So you were married. So now you're divorced. You've got a lovely 18-year-old daughter. And so you're a single man. You're a successful actor. You're going to be in Miami. You're a big deal. Are you looking to get married again? Are you okay just kind of hanging out on Instagram and acting and doing your own thing?
No, I mean, I got a girlfriend now that's very nice. And, you know, if things work out, who knows? Maybe we'll get married.
Okay. Oh, that's sweet. Beautiful. That's sweet. All right, so when are you heading down to Miami exactly? Do you know the date?
I'm not sure. I think April. I talked to Willie called me up a week ago, whatever, right. Because I need you in Florida in April. I don't know if it was Miami or not, but I guess you know better than me, so.
No,
we'll
I don't know.
I
was told.
I'm excited about it.
I'm excited too. I was told to come down Monday, March 29th, and I think I'm in like between Miami and Brooklyn, 6 or 7 episodes. I don't know how many you're in. You're a big actor. You're a real deal, but I have no idea. I know that my best friend in the show is Dice. So I get to shoot all these scenes and hang out in Miami with Dice, and things could be a lot worse than that, right, Joe?
Oh, that sounds great. But I'll tell you, if no one's ever seen it, they should definitely go to Amazon Prime and watch it so they could see the cliffhanger that happens because somebody gets shot up.
I
know. And in season 2, we got to find out who tried to shoot him up.
Right. It's going to be very, very exciting. So look forward to meeting you. We enjoyed your work big time in A Bronx Tale and Goodfellas and Gravesend. And we'll talk to you down the road here on Bernie and Sid when, in fact, we complete season number 2. And I'll see you in Miami, buddy. Thank you for hopping on, Joe.
Thank you for having me on, gentlemen. It's been a pleasure and an honor to be on your show. Enjoy your day. Thank you so much. I'll see you down in Miami.
Joseph.
Bernie,
thank you.
Bernie, you're the man, Bernie. Thank you.
How can I be the man if you're the man, Joseph? Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. There he is, Joseph DiNaprio. Check out his IMDb. And he's a real good actor, and he's a really nice guy. And I'm always, I don't know, a little surprised when these folks reach out to me or I reach out to them, and then I find out what big fans they are of ours. You know, it's like, wait a second, you were the guy in The Bronx Tale, so I'm a fan of you. No, you don't get it. I love you. I love Bernie. I love them. So it's always exciting. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. We're going to play Sid, the sports savant here. You can go up against me, has your sports knowledge. If you want to go up against me and possibly win yourself some very cool Bernie and Sid merchandise, as Bernie likes to call it, a Bernie and Sid lid, here's your opportunity. Once again, Sid the Sports Savant, 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222.
You know, just we're going to get a contestant. But in the meantime, a lot of people talking about this canceling Dr. Seuss on the heels of canceling Dr. Potato Head, excuse me, Mr. Potato Head, gender-neutral Mr. Potato. I think they backed off of that. But the funny thing is, Joe Biden on Reading Day, just the other day, he omitted Dr. Seuss from his list of things to read. I mean, he essentially canceled Dr. Seuss, and it came out, of course, none other than Michelle Obama, Barack Obama, Kamala Harris, they've all been quoting Dr. Seuss for years and years. Barack Obama actually said, "I've been quoted saying this sometimes. Most of what you need to learn, you can actually just read Dr. Seuss." The Sneetches, as an example, he says it's all pretty much there. The Sneetches is one of the books that got canceled, believe it or not. It was one of the 6 books cited that have now been that Dr. Seuss people say they're not going to put that out. Kamala Harris 2 years ago, "Happy birthday, Dr. Seuss." And then she says this: "The more you read, the more things you will know. The more you learn, the more places you'll go." That was Dr. Katz. So everybody loved Dr. Seuss.
Yeah.
Just about until about 2 or 3 days ago, and then all of a sudden, Dr. Seuss is like, he's a Klan member.
I don't get that one. Some of these other things, I don't get it either, and I think it's dangerous for us, but I can pick out something that says, well, maybe, I don't agree, but maybe, Dr. Seuss, I mean, what am I missing? Here's Tricia. She's in Yorktown Heights, and she thinks Bernie is very sexy. Good morning, Tricia.
No, you guys. Listen, I've talked to you before. I pray for you guys every single day of my life, and I go to Mass every morning. And before I go to Mass, I listen to you two. And I tell you, in the midst of all this darkness in the world, you guys are the light. I mean, you make us laugh. You make us laugh out loud. Your voice never changes. It's always a happy, it's a happy pill every morning before Mass. And Bernie, I just want, no, Sid, I just want to tell you, Ava, I love Ava. I love your daughter. And you know what?
Thank you.
She's got a lot of spunk. And when she was on, she's very intelligent.
She's open,
you know, and again, she loves her father. And she really deep down knows that you're right. But you know what? She likes the competition. She likes the exchange.
She's a teenage girl.
She'll be fine.
I hope, thank you. I hope you're right about that, because she has the last couple of weeks come around just a little. You know what it is now? Trisha and Bernie, she has this boyfriend, and his name is Toby. He's a cute kid. I met him down in Florida in December, and he lives in London. But they are, like, legitimately in love. They spend 19, 20 hours a day on FaceTime. I met the kid, like I said, in Florida. He's coming to New York on March 24th. He's going to Hawaii with us later on this summer. So they're, like, 16 years old. His parents are very, very successful. So now she's so caught up in Toby that she stopped arguing with me about Donald Trump and or Joe Biden.
She's no longer being paying attention to the brainwashing that's going on in school,
because
she's in love. She's ignoring the brainwashing.
Right.
I like that.
And his family are conservative folks.
Oh, that'll help.
They live in London. They're big Trump supporters.
Oh, that's great.
Very Jewish. In fact, they're having a nice Shabbat dinner on Friday. Grandmother, everybody's invited. And Ava's going to be there over Zoom. This is like basically, it's done.
Wow. You know what?
It's done.
This guy Toby saved your daughter.
I think so. And she's actually taking the SATs in a couple of months, and she's only applying to colleges. You ready for this? In London.
Wow.
So she's going to study abroad.
Nice. Oxford.
He lives there. Yeah.
Oh, beautiful.
They've got a place by Myrtle Beach in South Carolina.
Yeah,
it's all good.
A lot of people, it happens. Sometimes it happens sooner rather than later. You really worry about your kids.
Yes.
And then they come around.
They come around.
And yeah. Like in this case, apparently, Ava, again, sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
Some kids it takes until their early 20s, mid-20s.
If at all.
Yeah, if at all. But but most times they do come around. But you fret and worry because, as I said a million times, you're only as happy as your unhappiest child.
That is so accurate. So accurate.
And you don't want them to be a brainwashed, poisoned, angry, miserable people.
But thank you, Tricia, for bringing up Ava. I love that.
Very sweet.
That's very, very, very nice. Thank you.
Now you have to leave.
Now
you have to leave, Sydney.
Now you've got to leave.
Sid, the sports savant.
It's Sid, the sports savant on 77 WABC.
And on our line right now, we have Kevin from New Jersey. He's a bread delivery gentleman. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Bernie.
It's a pleasure to have you. Where do you deliver bread, Kevin?
Well, I start out in Harrison, New Jersey, and then I work my way down to Middletown area, like Monmouth County.
You make a lot of dough, bro? I don't even answer that. Hey, listen, you good at...
I used to, not anymore, thanks to, you know, who.
Oh, yes.
And these closures.
Governor Murphy and the rest of these petty tyrants. Well, I think that's coming to an end soon, so keep hope alive, Kevin. Kevin, listen, you big sports fan?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. So you have a shot at winning a Bernie and Sid hat lid, Bernie and Sid lid, as I call it. And, well, here's the question, Kevin. I'll ask you the question. You give me the answer. In 1993, the Buffalo Bills, they overcame a 35-3 deficit in the AFC wildcard game before coming back to win. Which team was this against? 1993.
93, it was Houston.
You got it, bro. You got it.
Yeah.
They beat the Oilers in overtime, 41-38.
Yeah.
Which is, as a result, this game is still called the comeback by Bills fans. Now, I'm a casual sports fan these days. Tom Brady came back a couple of years ago in the Super Bowl against the Falcons. So I don't know if it was bigger than this deficit or not. Sid will tell us. He knows all. So anyway, listen. Stand by, Kevin. You stand by. Sid's going to come back and play. See if he gets the answer correctly on Sid the Sports Savant. Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show. Yes, Sid the Sports Savant. Kevin in New Jersey did get the answer correct, so he may win a hat, a Bernie and Sid lid.
Where is he in New Jersey?
What did he say? Monmouth County? We'll ask him on the other side.
All right.
But anyway, he delivers bread.
Okay.
Harrison.
I love the bread, guys.
Okay, so here's the question. Are you worried? In 1993, the Buffalo Bills overcame a 35-3 deficit in the AFC wildcard game.
Great game.
Before coming back to win.
Yeah.
Who were they playing against?
Oh, stop it.
I know. I believe me.
You know what was amazing about that game? The Bills' starting quarterback back then, they were going to Super Bowls every year. They lost four in a row. You know that. Two to Dallas, one to Washington, and one to the Giants. They had Hall of Fame quarterback Jim Kelly. What's amazing about that game you're talking about is he got hurt. And it was the backup quarterback, a guy by the name of Frank Reich, who right now is the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, came off the bench for Jim Kelly. And it was Frank who made that amazing comeback and won the game. And it came against Warren Moon and the Houston Oilers.
Very well done.
Wasn't even Kelly. It was Frank Ryan.
You're showing off, but I like it. I'm very impressed, I got to tell you.
Yeah.
Now, look, it was overtime.
Yes.
The score, you want to venture what the score
41-38.
Was? Bingo. Yeah. Right on the damn money.
Yeah.
It's called the comeback. But here's my question to you.
Yeah.
Was that a bigger comeback than what Tom Brady did against the Falcons a couple of years ago?
It's a great question. Now, that is still the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history. And I believe that it's still bigger than the deficit Tom Brady had against the Falcons, yes.
All right. Okay. I asked, hey, Kevin, come on. Put Kevin up. Kevin, are you impressed with Sid's knowledge?
I'll tell you, he knows everything. I knew he was going to get it. I knew I had no chance.
Not only does he get
it, amazing.
Though, he gives you the quarterback. He came off the substitute guy, and he coaches for this team over here. And they lost four in a row on their way.
You know what it is? It's the backup quarterback deal. Don't forget the Giants, their backup quarterback beat Jim Kelly and that Buffalo Bills team in a Super Bowl. Super Bowl 25.
Yeah,
and exactly right.
Kevin knows his stuff.
Kevin's great.
He does. Yes. He does. He does know his stuff. But he doesn't win a hat. I can tell you that. Hey, Kevin, listen, thanks for playing. You were great, man. Appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure, man. Great talking to you guys.
You too. God bless
you. I listen every morning.
Thank you very much, Kevin. You're the guy. Thank you very much.
You the man.
Kevin
the man.
In New Jersey. Listens every day and knows his sports. That was a great game. I'll never forget that.
Let me just real quick. The Tom Brady comeback was 28-3, so that was a 25-point difference.
Oh, this was more.
Right, that was the biggest Super Bowl comeback. But that was the Bills game was the greatest of all time. And yes, Corey Zelnick, who actually told me earlier, you're not 0-9, you're 9-9, because I tested negative every time on my COVID test. He says Maryland, and you're right, Frank Reich. Who? How about this for you? If I really want to show off,
or you're 9-0.
Right. Not only did he come back and win that game in Kelly's stead for the Buffalo Bills, but Frank went to Maryland. And the starting quarterback when he was there was a guy named Boomer Esiason. And Boomer got hurt at Maryland, and Frank came in the game and had the greatest comeback win ever in Maryland history, too.
Much to Boomer's chagrin.
Yes.
No doubt about it.
Frank Reich.
Sitting on the bench or watching him from the locker room saying, damn it!
Damn it! Frank. Every time Frank came in the game, he found a way to win. Almost like Earl Morrill, except he didn't win every time when he came in for Johnny Unitas and Bob Greasy.
By the way, just a casual question. Has Boomer ever won a Super Bowl ring?
He only went to one.
So the answer
is... And that was
in
Miami. And he was winning that game very, very late. He should have won it. And the 49ers came back. Montana hit John Taylor with about 30 seconds left. He went and lost the game.
I'll take that as a no.
That's a no. More of Bernie and Sid right after this.
Listen to the radio. I heard a song reminding me of long ago. Back then I thought that things were never going to change.
Eddie Money for you at 8:07 on your Thursday morning. This is an exciting hour on the Bernie and Sid Show. Lydia Report's coming up at 8:25. And the highlight of the week, the great Bill O'Reilly, will be here at 8:40. But first, I want to go back any money. A very, very good friend of mine, John Cosenza, the Cosenza Fish Market on Arthur Avenue. He's in the call with his father right now. He's a monster Bernie and Sid fan. John Cosenza, the Cosenza Fish Market on Arthur Avenue, and his dad listening right now. See, there are guys like me and my father, you and your father, John and his father, who have this mutual respect and the love back and forth. And that was really very, very evident yesterday, Bernard. When Andrew Cuomo spoke to the folks, you can hear the love in his voice about his father. It's not like he threw his dad under the bus or anything like that. He loves his father, right?
Well, that's not what I heard.
Oh, oh boy.
As a matter of fact, I think Matt Meany was ready to push a button. Take a listen.
You can find hundreds of pictures of me making the same gesture with hundreds of people. Women, men, children, etc. You can go find hundreds of pictures of me kissing people, men, women. It is my usual and customary way of greeting. By the way, it was my father's way of greeting people.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm the same way, I hate to tell you.
Sorry, Dad.
I kiss and hug.
So is he admitting that he kissed Lindsay Boylan on the lips?
Or
is
he never said
or
lips.
Is he still calling her a liar?
He never admitted anything. He just said
did anybody ask him?
He's a kissy huggy guy.
Did
so
anybody,
am I.
Did anybody ask? That's her one of her direct allegations.
I understand.
Is that he kissed her on the lips.
Right. No one has confirmed
unsolicited.
That. No one's confirmed that.
Was he asked? Did he address that yesterday?
Don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't knock. Listen, I think he's a scumbag, and not enough bad things can happen to the guy, but I'm also like him. You know how I am. Bernie, I kiss, I hug everybody, and but people get very uncomfortable with me. Very. You know that. Doesn't mean I'm a rapist or I'm even inappropriate.
No,
just the way I was raised. We kiss and hug.
Would you say to a 25-year-old rape victim, would you say to
hold
her?
Hold on. Did I know she
are
was
you,
a,
are you,
I, hold
wait,
on.
Wait
did
a
I know
second,
she
a
was
second.
A rape victim? Did I know that?
No, I'm asking you, would you say if you knew?
That she was a rape victim.
Yes.
I knew
would,
she was. Okay.
Would you say, are you open to having sex with older men? Would you say that to her?
First of all, I'm married. Why would he even ask that question?
Okay.
So you want to assume I'm not married? Because he's not married.
Yeah, yeah.
He's
yeah.
not married.
Yeah.
So she's 25.
She's 25.
He knows she's a rape victim.
He's 63.
Right.
It's the middle of the pandemic.
Right.
She's in his office up in the Albany Mansion for some reason.
Right.
And she says that he actually said that to her.
Okay, well, here's where I'm going to say Andrew Cuomo's okay. Unlike Matt Lauer, who had a button in his desk drawer and would shut the door and would make his way over to your chair and literally throw you to the ground and have sex with you, he asked her a question. So, no, I don't think it's all that terrible. Again, don't make me defend Andrew Cuomo, but all these things you presented to me are not terrible.
You brought it up. I was going to go somewhere else.
They're not terrible.
But you do whatever you want. If you want to defend Cuomo, that's
no,
fine.
No, they're not terrible.
By the way, the apologies and all that stuff, and I'm embarrassed. I can't believe I did it. I'm so ashamed. You know what, Andrew? Keep the Emmy. Keep the Emmy. We've been calling for the Emmys to recall it from him or for him to return it. Keep it because you won it yesterday with this fake, you know, I feel so bad. I didn't mean it. Here's a couple of some of the gems from yesterday's performance.
I never touched anyone inappropriately. You can go find hundreds of pictures of me kissing people. Men, women, it is my usual and customary way of greeting. You also have New York City, which is in a very precarious situation. It's teetering, to use a word. Crime is way up. Homelessness is way up.
Yeah, you know, many people. I want to hear him crying. Play Andrew Cuomo.
I feel
one. Andrew Cuomo won.
I'm not going to resign. I acted in a way that made people feel uncomfortable. It was unintentional, and I truly and deeply apologize for it.
I didn't mean it. and it was, I really apologize.
You can act like a man.
I really am sorry. But those old people, they deserve to die. I mean, they should die. They're old people. People die. What do I care? What difference does it make if it's a hospital or a nursing home? But to these ladies, I can't even tell you how bad I feel. I'm so ashamed. I'm embarrassed. I'm not going to hold any more press conferences. I'm not going to drive over the Mario Cuomo Bridge because my dad will be looking down on me. I'm going to take the Taconic Parkway. Melissa, where are you?
What's the matter with you?
So anyway, that's that was his performance yesterday. Keep the Emmy, Governor Cuomo, please. You deserve it. I mean, there was more. Play Cuomo 5. He was just whimpering again. Cuomo 5.
I feel awful about it. And frankly, I am embarrassed by it. And that's not easy to say.
Not for me.
But that's the truth.
I'm so ashamed. Really.
He's not that ashamed. He also says, listen, F you, I'm not resigning.
Of course. This and by the way, this is so it is really it's a joke because he kills 15,000 old people and covered it up.
Right.
I mean, he obstruction of justice, corruption, maybe manslaughter. He massacred a bunch of old people, and we're worried that he kissed you know, two or three women.
Well, that
with you on that.
That was my point when you asked me, you know, what I thought about what he did with the women. I don't find it to be bad.
And by the way, nor does he. That's why he keeps the Emmy, because he doesn't give a rat's ass about these girls. He doesn't care about their fear. He's not sorry. This is all. This is spin. This is spin. Right. This is all damage control. Is what it is.
Who cares?
I mean,
who cares where they died? Who cares that they died? They were old anyway.
But the unfortunate part is that he's partly responsible, like you just said, for 15,000 deaths. And as I told the caller this morning, who was like, we need to concentrate on that, and the caller is right, it did take this ridiculous scandal. And again, I think it's ridiculous, and I think you'll get more ladies now just piling on. I don't think Cuomo is a rapist or a molester, but we need these types of stories to make him a bad guy. The fact that he killed 15,000 people, he was still reveling on MSNBC, but because he kissed somebody, maybe she wanted to or she didn't, it didn't matter. Now he's evil. Now he's the worst guy ever.
By his own standards, though, he should not be the governor of New York. By his own standards, by what he has said in the past, by his actions, by his criticisms of other people.
Why is that?
Because
you're right.
Because of what he said. He said,
about who
to me too, we got to believe women, and we got to do this, we got to do that.
That's right.
All that stuff. And so by his own standards, so yes, by our standards, no. I mean, it's a lot of it is old school. Maybe women have to toughen up a little bit. Yeah. I mean, it's not always intended to be malicious or salacious, though you should be careful. But either way, the biggest thing is it's not the sexual harassment. One more clip from it's the murdering of the old people, a massacre of the old people, of Cuomo being embarrassed. One more clip, play it, please.
I'm embarrassed by it, and I feel bad from it. I'm not in this business to make people feel uncomfortable. I'm here to make them. To help them. That's the essence of what I do.
I'm here to help the people. Unless, of course, you're over 65. Then who cares? Who cares?
Act like a man.
What difference does it make? Yeah, that's Governor. He's a sick man.
He's crazy.
Sick in the head, this guy.
All right, Bernie, here we go. I will not wear it on my face. I will not wear it any place. I will not wear it to get in. I will not wear it on my chin. I will not wear it in my ear. I will not wear it out of fear. I will not wear your stupid mask. I will not wear it. Do not ask. That is the latest from the since canceled Dr. Seuss.
That's beautiful. That is so well done.
That's my message to the company.
Well, listen, that is, according to the president of the United States, who criticized Texas for, loosening the restrictions on wearing masks. He said this yesterday. Biden said this about wearing masks. Believe it or not.
I think it's a big mistake. The last thing we need is the Neanderthal thinking that in the meantime, everything's fine. Take off your mask. Forget it. It still matters.
There, Sydney. Oh, there. Okay. You and your false machismo.
I'm a Neanderthal.
You're a Neanderthal. Yeah. And you would think, I said this earlier on a serious note, I mean, the governors are supposed to take care of their states under our system of federalism. We know that. All the governors, they're responsible. You should just say, good luck, Godspeed. We understand it's the state's rights to do that. We hope it works. Instead, he's calling them names. And by the way, he's allowing illegals to come in here in Texas, in Brownsville, Texas. He allowed over 100 illegals to come in. They tested positive, and then they put them on buses to come to Maryland, New Jersey, and New York. So there's a lot of hypocrisy out there. I was watching Channel 4 this morning. Michael Gargiulo on Channel 4,
yeah,
NBC.
He
goes, he played the Texas governor on the reopening. Then he goes, the governor also claimed that the Biden administration allowed illegal alien or whatever he called it, undocumented immigrants to enter Texas and the country after testing positive for COVID. He says, but he didn't provide any details. And then they moved on.
Yeah, stupid.
Just open a stinking paper. Do your own read. You're a journalist. You figure it out.
Breaking news here out of Fox News. Tiger Woods, this story does not go away, crashed his car 9 days ago. Tiger Woods reportedly told Los Angeles sheriff's deputies after his crash that he could not remember driving and wasn't even sure how the crash happened. In other words, before he crashed, he doesn't even remember driving.
Right. Yeah, no, I had heard that.
And that doesn't bode well.
And they actually have a black box.
I know.
That they're going to.
They got that, yes.
And listen, kudos to Phil Mushnick. The relief that we should feel, A, that Tiger Woods didn't kill himself.
Right.
But B, that he didn't kill anybody else.
That's the big point.
I mean, and Phil Mushnick is the only guy who says, please, give me a break.
Right. All good points. 1-800-848-WABC. That was a fun segment. The 1-800-848-9222. Lydia Reports and Bill O'Reilly in this hour. Keep it right here.
I want to see these beautiful young ladies. I want to see them dancing when they're 4 years older, too.
This is Lydia Reports on 77 WABC. Here's Lydia Serrani.
And this Lydia Reports is sponsored by LifeVac. Did you know that one child dies every 5 days? Your world can change in just minutes, drastically, horrifically. And as a parent, as a grandparent, as a aunt, uncle, if you have small children in your home, you can protect them as well as your entire family by purchasing a LifeVac. Just go to lifevac.net. Use code WABC for 10% off. Again, that's lifevac.net. Well, instead of the mainstream media informing the people, I feel like they are trying to continue to divide the people. Joy Reid, I try not to watch her too much because I get too angry. I want to, you know, break my TV. But I was watching this. I couldn't even believe this segment and what she was talking about, saying that the states that are reopening fully, you know, Texas, Mississippi, that they're no longer having their mask mandates. They're guilty of necropolitics in an effort to kill black and brown people. She literally said this on national TV. Joy Reid, take a listen.
There is a term called necropolitics, which is essentially the politics of who gets to live and who gets to die. And these states, what they have in common is that they have structures which say that black and brown lives matter less. And so all that matters is the black and brown people get their behinds into the factory and make me my steaks, make me my stuff, get there and do my nails, work, get back to work now and do the things that I, the comfortable, affluent person, need. Isn't that what we're seeing? I mean, that's what it feels like to me. Necropolitics in states like Texas.
Necropolitics.
By the way, she is far and away. This is not even up for debate, even ahead of Don Lemon. Joy Reid is far and away the biggest racist in the history of television.
Well,
history.
She's not too fond of the gays either, as we recall.
Remember that? Yeah.
Yeah. No, this is the narrative from the crazy, loony, leftist, racist people like that, Lydia, that this is all about, I don't know, white supremacy. It's insanity. It's stupid. It's selfish. People are concerned about the kids. If you have a second, I'll play you the clip from this L.A. Teachers Union head. She's essentially the Michael Mulgrew of Los Angeles. Her name is Cecily Maya Cruz, and she said similar things to what Joy Reid just said. Listen.
Some voices are being allowed to speak louder than others. We have to call out the privilege behind the largely white, wealthy parents driving the push for a rushed return. Their experience of this pandemic is not our students' families' experiences.
No, that's so it's white privilege that's forcing us to say that schools should be reopened. However, a couple of California, Los Angeles people who go to the LA schools, their kids do, black parents, two of them, a woman and a man, they said this.
It's almost like minority families want the schools to open more than anybody else. And the reason why I say that is because education for us, for our culture, is a stairway out of poverty. So every day that our children is not in school, that's just a day closer to poverty for them.
Most of our kids, before the pandemic, we had an 80% honor roll rate. Now, since the distance learning and Zoom classes, that dropped about maybe 20%. Like most of my A's and B kids are getting D's and C's.
So there you go. The petty tyrant lockdown governors and their enablers and apologists in the media, the strong hurting the weak and calling it justice.
They're using this inflammatory rhetoric to get ratings. It's a ratings grab. And in the process, they're hurting the communities of color. Because that, like that last woman said, that education is the greatest equalizer. And we know here in the New York City public school system, the majority of kids that go there, they are minority students. And they're getting hurt the most in this entire pandemic. And for Joy Reid to say this is necropolitics because states want to reopen, and that's the use of social and political power to dictate how some people will live and some people will die, is just, I can't, they should have a warning.
Yeah, you talk about... I mean,
if anybody should be canceled, it's her.
You talk about disinformation. She's completely wrong. You're absolutely right. It is the kids, minority kids, getting hit the hardest, getting hurt the most, because for the most part, they have one parent at home. It's tough for them to get the proper computers. Parents have to work. And so they just can't, you know, they in the best of circumstances, the schools were failing these kids. And now it's exponentially worse. So, yes, a whole generation of young minority kids are getting screwed, getting held back, getting intellectually stunted. And these people, they don't care. They just don't care. They have their own little stupid agendas. Trump wanted the schools open. Governor Abbott is a Republican, so it's got to be white supremacy, right?
Absolutely. These regressive policies are hurting the very communities they claim to be helping. Well, this report, again, is sponsored by LifeVac. One child dies every 5 days. Your world can change in minutes. I mean, it is very scary if you ever seen your kid choking. I have. Thank God my daughter is fine. She's 4 years old as a parent, as a mom, aunt, uncle. If you have small kids in your home, I think businesses should have this. Anybody that sells especially food, purchase a LifeVac. Go to LifeVac.net. Use code WABC for 10% off. Again, that's LifeVac.net.
Excellent job, Lydia. Can check Lydia out every weekday afternoon at 4 o'clock. Also sits alongside John Catsimatidis at 5. Does a terrific show Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Follow Lydia on Instagram at LydiaNews1 and on Twitter at LydiaNews. Great job, Lydia. Thank you. You know, I was checking my Facebook before we get to Bill O'Reilly. And I like I've told you this before, I like the memories. I like that.
Yeah, me too.
I know you like that too. So a memory popped up today 5 years ago. And it's me at the Kings Highway train station in Brooklyn, because I had just moved back to New York to work with you. And I was living with my sister, Ray Sherry, and my brother-in-law, Albert. It was their son-in-law, Eric, who died last week in Mill Basin in Brooklyn. And I'm standing there drinking a Dunkin' Donuts coffee, waiting for the B train on Kings Highway. And I'm talking about the debate later on tonight that I'm going to in Brooklyn between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders.
Wow. Yeah.
5 years ago today.
Good times.
Remember that?
Yeah, that's when you were a working man, and politics was fun at the time.
It was.
Now it's so ugly. I mean, it wasn't exactly happy times.
No, it wasn't.
But it was exciting.
You know who the first person I saw that night was? It was down at the Brooklyn Armory. That's where they had that big debate. CNN was set up all over the place. And the first person I saw that night inside, Deb Valentine.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, Deb Valentine. I understand you saw Andrea Mitchell.
I did.
You saw a lot of these.
You remember all
fake
that.
News losers.
Kristen
yes.
Welker.
Yes,
I took pictures with all of them.
Right, and you were all seated outside the debate. So
yes.
The purpose of going there was actually defeated because you weren't in the same room as where the debate was occurring.
100%
right?
True. But what was funny was after that debate, though, even though we were removed from the debate, I saw them putting chairs in a circle, like 20 chairs. And it turned out that's where they did the Anderson Cooper show, and I talked to Anderson, remember?
Right.
I'm like, hey, I'm Sid, Bernie, and Sid. He was very, very nice. Very,
yeah,
very
I'm
nice.
Sure.
But phony, of course, so. Because he hates us.
Yeah, I mean, no, yeah, you know, on a one-to-one basis, yeah, he's nice. Yeah. What's he going to do, spit in your face?
I don't know.
Maybe if he knew, he would. But, yeah, good times, good times. Waxing nostalgic.
Yeah,
I like it.
5 years ago today. Anyway, we'll take a short break. When we get back, it's the highlight of the week. The man, the great Bill O'Reilly, with Bernie and Sid. He was the best. He still is the best. He'll always be the best. Whether it's weeknights here on WABC, his daily speak at 7:23 mornings here on ABC, or 8:40 every morning with Bernie and Sid on Thursdays, I should say, on ABC. His website, BillO'Reilly.com, is the only place to get real news, real facts. That's it. There's no place else to go. That's it.
And you can pre-order Killing the Mob.
I know.
Which I actually have. I got a personally inscribed copy from Bill O'Reilly.
How come I didn't get it? I'm a mob guy.
I'm a third into it, and it is absolutely fantastic. Killing the Mob.
I got to get that book. Come on, Bill. He's still doing very well with his book before that, Killing Crazy Horse. And his interviews, his TV shows, his columns, including today's The Kavanaugh Effect, are all brilliant. So here he is, the aforementioned, the best, Bill O'Reilly. Hi, Bill.
Rosenberg, I sent you a copy of Killing the Mob. Okay, so now whoever's handling your stuff needs to be brought in.
Well, right? Listen,
I'll send you another one.
Thank you.
But I sent... Because, you know, I sent it to McGurk, I sent it to you. I'm not favoring one over the other. Right. And by the way, if you pre-order Killing the Mob on BillO'Reilly.com, we give you 50% off Killing Crazy Horse.
Wow.
And that'll keep you out of trouble for a few, you know, because you like both books. But anyway, what's going on?
Well, actually, it's fine. I was watching a TV show last night on Nikki Barnes. And the relationship he formed with Joey Gallo when they were in prison together back in the early 60s. They took over the heroin trade. And I swear, Bill, I was thinking about you in this book. I'm like, I got to get this book. So I'm glad to hear that that you did send it. But let's start with the news of the day. That is that the House just canceled their session on the Hill because they're worried about the breach of the Capitol, the threat at least. And we've talked about this, Bernie, specifically for days. This may be, of all the stories that have been nonsense, and there's a lot of them, this may be the biggest nonsensical story yet.
Well, my corgi, Holly the Terror Dog, refuses to go outside because she fears QAnon people on Long Island kidnapping her because she knows what happened to Lady Gaga's booches.
That's right.
So Holly now is in the garage and refusing to come out. So I wrote the message of the day on BillO'Reilly.com about the dire threat from QAnon. Only problem is that we don't know any QAnons. We don't know who they are. But I think that would be the threat would be worse because they're like invisible people and they can come and take your wallet. So why is this happening? This is the real key. And I appreciate you guys having me on every Thursday. I don't say that much, but I do. So
thank you.
The reason this is happening, that the House members, we can't vote today because we're so afraid of QAnon, and so we can't vote. And then a few federal law enforcement officials, we know. We have credible threats from QAnon. Sure you do. Remember on Inauguration Day, when 25,000 National Guard ringed Washington, D.C. because of all the trouble there was going to be. Remember that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And CNN for a week was hysterical. Mm. They were hysterical. All of them were issued tasers by AT&T just in case anybody would attack them on Inauguration Day. Not one thing happened in the entire country except Antifa burned down another section of Portland, Oregon.
That's right.
That was it.
Yep, that's it.
Okay?
Yep.
There weren't any demonstrations. So the 25,000 guardsmen who had to sleep in garages, all right? I mean, and that tab had to be $1 billion. All right? They're just looking at each other going, well, where are these insurgents? Now, why are they doing this now? So March 4th today is a traditional 19th century Inauguration Day. That's when the new president would be sworn in. Now, they didn't do that. They stopped that because it was just too far away from the election. So March 4th, some QAnon people apparently are getting secret messages from Donald Trump. Did you know that?
Yeah, right.
some kind of secret messaging that Donald Trump's going to return to Washington on this inauguration day. And I don't exactly know what he's going to do. Maybe he'll check into his hotel. He'll have a steak. I don't know. But the QAnon people are, you know, supposedly they are going to rally around this. Okay. So anyone who believes this really should be listening to Hot 95 or some other television radio station. Right?
It's really left.
Anybody who would buy into this. Right. But the media reports it straight. They report it straight. Like, oh, yeah, QAnon. They're coming. They're going to get us. Okay, fine. But the reason it's happening is a serious reason. The trial starts next week in Minnesota. They're going to be trouble. And particularly if the police officer on trial is acquitted, which he may be because of the toxicology report that will be introduced into the trial. Now, the people who run the progressive left, they know this. And these are organized people. I've said this before on the Bernie and Sid show. They have offices on K Street in Washington. Every morning they have conference calls. They put stuff out. And they're ahead of it. They know that there could be another round of really vicious street demonstrations. So they want to set up a scenario where the real threat isn't from these people. It's from the QAnon, white supremacist right. That's the domestic terror threat. And that is why you hear this over and over and over again.
Yeah, and it is. And it's great on you. Great job pointing it out, Bill O'Reilly. One further development yesterday on the January 6th Capitol Hill riot. They had been saying it's an armed insurrection. It was an armed insurrection over and over and over again. The media, the Democrat politicians. The number two FBI lady testified yesterday that not one person, they didn't find one gun. Nobody was armed of all the people they arrested. So it's this big, oh, never mind about the armed insurrection thing, according to her testimony yesterday. But, Bill, in the interest of time, I just want to move on to your brilliant, insightful column at BillO'Reilly.com. It's about media bias and Andrew Cuomo, and it is entitled The Kavanaugh Effect. And I just loved it, Bill. Can you tell us about it, please?
Okay, the Kavanaugh effect is that anyone in the country, any group, any individual, can ruin another individual by an allegation. And we saw that front and center with Brett Kavanaugh. All right, there was no backup for Blasey Ford's accusations against the judge, but the media convicted him. And everybody saw it. It was no two sides to the story. Now, Kavanaugh got in. Just barely, because the Republican senators didn't want to destroy him. They wanted him on the court. So there he is. But here's another thing I'm going to break on the Bernie and Sid show. So I learned this morning that one of the women accusing Andrew Cuomo of misconduct now is an attorney. The attorney's name is Melinda Katz. Who is Melinda Katz?
Oh, we know her
she
well.
She is Christine Blasey Ford's attorney.
Yep.
Okay. Now, these are the things that are never reported in the New York Times, on any of the networks, never reported. So why would a Washington, D.C.-based radical left lawyer, Katz, represent one of the people trying to bring down Andrew Cuomo? Why? Now, Katz isn't being paid by this woman. Blasey Ford didn't pay Katz a dime. These groups paid Katz, okay? These progressive groups, they pick up the lawyer tab. So that tells me that the far left wants Cuomo out because he's not left enough. He's not radical enough.
Right.
That's what this is all about. Now, I don't have any use for Cuomo. I mean, I know who he is. I know how he conducts himself, but I don't think he's a predator.
No.
Okay? I mean, I don't. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he is. But I don't. I've known him for decades. I don't see him that way.
No.
But this isn't coming from conservatives. This is coming from his own crew.
Right.
All right? So then you say, well, why? Well, if you look at the legislation that the radicals in Albany want to pass, Cuomo's not going to go for a lot of that. He's not going to go for the wealth tax. He's not going to go for raising the highest level on individuals to 13% in New York State. Why? Because everyone's moving out of the state,
yeah.
And that will accelerate that. Mm. I'll move out of the state. Okay, I'm not going to pay 13% of my income to New York State on top of the 50% that I'll wind up paying the feds. And if you live in New York City, it's another tax on top of that that you have to pay, Sid.
Yep.
McGurk's out on Long Island, so he didn't have to pay the city tax.
So you're saying essentially Cuomo's just not radical enough. By the way, quick correction, Bill O'Reilly. It's Deborah Katz.
Oh, not Melinda.
Melinda
that was Kotitz's ex-wife.
Deborah Katz. Okay.
Melissa.
You know, I think I dated someone named Melinda Katz in college, and I think, you know, that's what happened there. But good. I'm glad you're correcting me. But very few people know who she is, this lawyer. And why would she do this? Why would she be involved with this?
Right.
Okay? So all of these things when on BillO'Reilly.com, our job is to cover the news honestly and to point out to you what's really happening. There's always a why behind this stuff.
Right.
That's never reported.
Well, you dig deep and you find out all the time, and that's why we love you and we love your website. We love you coming on here. Now, let's put this scenario in front of you, Bill. Let's say you weren't on Long Island. You weren't in New York. Instead, Bill O'Reilly, you woke up this morning in Dallas, Texas, or Jackson, Mississippi, where they decided yesterday, both states, it's over. No more masks. Which, by the way, I decided a long time ago. No more masks. Businesses are opening up. We've done enough. It's enough. Let the virus be the virus, and let's move on. Would you be okay with that? Or would you be uncomfortable?
Or is that Neanderthal thinking?
Right.
Well, I lived in Dallas for 2 years. I worked for the ABC affiliate down there in my rise up. And I think I don't object to the states opening up for business. I don't. But I think that coupled with the announcement should have been a caution, you know, that we're going to do this because the greater good is served by having our economy get back and people working. But we still advise you to wear the mask and not to go into crowds. Because this thing isn't over. It'll be over in a few months, but it's just not there yet. And I don't think that advisory was put prominently enough by the announcements. But I would do it. I mean, and it was amusing to see Newsom, who's going to, I think, lose his job in California and be recalled, say, oh, this is horrible. This is terrible. Well, okay. I mean, we're all people who make decisions. Now, if you're in Texas and you're going to walk in to a rave party in San Antonio without a mask, you're going to get COVID. Okay, you're going to get it. And if you don't know that, then you probably deserve to get it. That's how dumb you are. So if we can take you off the streets for 2 weeks, that's a good thing, because you're just too dumb to be out in public.
Right.
But I think the Governor Abbott of Texas should have been a little stronger in the sense that say, this is why we're doing it, but still please be cautious because you don't want to become ill.
And on the other hand, Bill O'Reilly, at BillO'Reilly.com, the column is called The Kavanaugh Effect, and Bill is here and heard at WABC Radio at noon and again at 9, from 9 to 10 on WABC Radio. This ties into the border crisis, Bill. Joe Biden called the Texas mentality Neanderthal thinking. Yet, in Brownsville, Texas, they allowed over 100 illegal aliens who tested positive for COVID to get on a bus and come to the interior in the United States.
Yeah.
So you have that and, of course, the rest of the craziness that's going on at the border.
Well, here's what people don't know. Once an undocumented foreign national sets foot on U.S. soil, the states don't have any power over them. It's a federal situation. So the people in Brownsville, Texas, in their bus station, they have a rapid COVID testing booth, okay? And you can get the results in 15 minutes. So they tested a whole bunch of undocumented people who snuck in here, and they were given $1,100, because if you get here and you say to the Border Patrol, I want asylum, they hand you $1,100. Did you know that?
No, cash?
Did not know that.
You got cash?
Yeah, cash. Really? And that $1,100 is relocation expenses.
Okay.
So they run down to the bus station, they buy a ticket to wherever they want to go with our taxpayer money, and they go.
Unbelievable.
All right? Now, Texas can't stop them. City of Brownsville can't stop them. In fact, you can't even make them take the test. These people who took the test, I guess they did it voluntarily, and then they said, well, you have COVID, and they said, okay, but I'm going to Toledo, I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean,
this is how insane this whole thing is.
It really is. I mean, if I want to go see the Brooklyn Nets play a basketball game, I got to take 16 tests.
Well, they don't want you in that arena.
Oh, that's what I said.
I mean, they have a big sign. I don't know whether you saw it or not, but you know, it's right next to the Black Lives Matter sign. We don't want Sid.
Right. They have the name Rosenberg and a line cross through it.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, the insanity down there, the eliminating the Remain in Mexico policy, and
Miller. On the No Spin News last night on BillO'Reilly.com, Miller was really good because he was the architect of the Trump immigration policy. And he just laid out how insane, and that's the word, this Joe Biden policy is. But it's going to come back to haunt Mr. Biden. You wait and see.
Let's hope so. In 2022 and 2024. As always, not a good conversation, a brilliant conversation. You're the best, Bill O'Reilly. We love you. And I'm looking forward to getting the book because Bernie really has off the air raved about it for weeks.
Come on. Killing the Mob, folks. Go to BillO'Reilly.com.
All right, you'll get it. You'll get it as fast as I can get it over there.
All right.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
We got you. Bill O'Reilly, everybody. Check him out at BillO'Reilly.com. And, of course, noon and 9 p.m. Eastern time right here on Talk Radio 77 WABC. Still to come, Peerless Boilers beat Bernie and the mother-daughter combination, Staten Island, in the house of Letitia and Jen Romero. They're very entertaining. Keep it right here. More of Bernie and Sid on a Thursday.
Let's fly away.
If you all do it, it's got to be JetBlue.
Some exotic
that's right.
Blues, there's a bar.
No Frontier Airlines.
Oh, God. And, you know, there was some report that Juliet was talking about this yesterday, that Delta is the best airline. Delta's the worst. The worst. JetBlue. That's who I fly with, Frankie.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. Now, Sundays are for Sinatra. Ramsey Mazda's Sundays with Sinatra with our friend Joe Piscopo. And by popular demand, we've added another hour. Now it's 6 to 9 on Sunday nights with Frank Sinatra and Joe Piscopo. So wrap up your weekend with the best music ever from the chairman of the board, Frank Sinatra, and Joe Piscopo on 77 WABC.
Talking about Sundays, I'll be back this week, the second week of Sid Sports Sunday. And I have booked a couple of guests, Mike Puma, New York Post, will be there to talk about the New York Mets. Also, Boog Shambi, one of the best baseball guys in the business, ESPN, also now does the Chicago Cub games. And Boog and I work together down in Miami, me, him, and Dan Lebitard, quite the trio.
No relation to Booger McFarlane.
None, not even close. White guy, red hair.
Just the Booger connection.
They called him Boog because he looks like Boog Powell, the former big red-haired.
Yeah, I remember that guy.
Yes.
But the Orioles.
Yes, very good. And Ian Eagle will be on Sunday, my dear friend, the voice, of course, of the Brooklyn Nets. He's got Michigan State for CBS coming up on Sunday. And I told Matt during the break, I said, outside of Bernard, I think the best shows I ever did with a partner was probably Ian. He and I used to fill in all the time for Mike and the Mad Dog over the summer. And he is, he's hilarious. Very dry in his humor.
Yes, and a nice easygoing guy.
Easygoing guy, brilliant. I loved working with Ian. So he'll stop by on Sunday, too. It's Sid Sports Sunday, and it comes to you at 12 o'clock noon on Sunday until 2, right after Judge Jeanine. So now we've got action-packed Saturdays and Sundays on WABC.
Really is amazing. And Sundays kicks off with the roundtable and our fearless leader, John Catsimatidis.
Even before him, you get the Reverend the Rabbi.
That's true.
They're really good,
you know,
too.
Bad on me for ignoring our religious brethren.
And then you get Rudy Giuliani in studio after John. I mean, it's a great day. And Saturdays, too. Look, Saturdays you get Joseph Abood and Cousin Brucey and Tony Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a great weekend schedule. We'll take a break when we get back. The final hour, beat Bernie and the Romaros live in studio. Keep it right here.
Over mountains, over trees, over oceans, over seas, across the desert, I'll be there. In a whisper on the wind.
So this is I'll Be There by The Escape Club. Don't be afraid of our love. I'll be watching you from above. Oh, Makeda just sent me a nice text, and O'Reilly sent me the book. Anyway, this song goes out to a very, very dear friend of all of us, and that is Kieran Lallor. I got a text from Kieran on Tuesday, and he said, I lost my dad on Thursday. And he said, I remember every show that you did with Bernie over the summer. And he said, I remember sitting in my car listening, and my heart broke for you. He said, but now that I lost him, now I really know how you felt last summer. So just a huge condolence and love and all that stuff from Bernie and Sid to Kieran Lallor, who did lose his father last Thursday.
To a good man, Kieran Lallor.
Great politician, great man, all
and
that.
If, you know, your children are a reflection of you. His dad was a great gentleman as well. Still
agreed.
Is.
Agreed. So, best to you, Kieran. Bernie, you know what he did this Bernie? Bernie's the best. So I'm railing all morning. Well, I'm going to get into trouble. There's no question about it, which is nonsense. It's silly because I refuse to abide by the company's policies. Even with an email sent out yesterday, I'm still not going to do it because I'm Texas, I'm Mississippi, and that's the end of it. So part of me is kidding, but not the major part of me. I'm being serious. So I know I'm going to get into trouble because that's what happens. It's just silly. So Bernie, he knows that all the big bosses are meeting in the back. There's a door that separates sales.
Everything is glass.
Right, it's all glass. But a glass door separates the sales and the offices from the talent. The talent, we're a bunch of renegades. Me the most, but no one wears a mask over here, except for Matt. Deb doesn't wear a mask sitting outside doing news. Rich Valdez doesn't wear a mask. Me and Bernie never wear a mask. But once you go through that door, it's like the light in Poltergeist. Then everybody wears a mask. Everybody. So we have these post-show meetings, which Bernie hates.
Wait a second.
What?
And you love them?
Hate them. They should be over yesterday. And everybody sits in this room and wears a mask, including Bernie, except for me. So Bernie, moments ago, puts on his mask. Does the Conor McGregor walk?
Well, this is in the wake of certain guidance we've gotten, certain protocols.
Right.
We have to wear it from now on. You have to wear a mask.
Even though I said three times earlier this morning, I got the same email you did, I'm not going to do it.
Right. So, yes. So, in an effort to virtue signal.
And make me look worse.
No, that's not what, that wasn't the point.
Well, I've been yelling all morning, I'm not going to follow the company's email.
We'll see what ensues after the show. But I just thought I'd take a stroll. I like to walk around. I do it all the time. You do the same thing?
We do we're like two old men in Delray Beach. And it's better in the morning, to be honest. I don't like when people start to come. In the morning when it's early and me and Bernie take our strolls to the back of the office, it's comforting.
Because we're sitting here, you got to stretch a little. So,
his mask on, Bernie, Mr. Virtue Signaler. And he walks, not only does he walk to the back, but he makes sure he walks past the office with all the bosses, and he gives them a smile and a thumbs up.
a salute, a thumbs up, just a wave, whatever.
Look at me.
Look at me, I'm wearing a mask.
I comply.
I tell you, I got to hand it to Bernie.
I didn't see the HR lady, but she's a very nice lady.
Oh, she sent me a lovely condolence.
Very
my nephew
nice,
died,
very
lovely.
Nice.
But she's the one who sent out the email yesterday.
So next commercial, I'll go look for her. But listen, I've been doing it even as you point out in the meetings as well.
You do wear the mask.
I know. I know the way some people feel.
I know, but what happened to the guy that, despite how some people feel, if there's no science, if there's no this, no that, why would you comply and then give these people the ammunition to continue this communistic, socialistic way of existence?
That's totalitarian.
Why do you do that? What happened to you fighting for the better good like I do?
Well, listen, if there's better to be safe than sorry.
No, at this point,
I'll tell you what. We're sitting in a room.
Pussy.
Listen, we're sitting in a room with eight or nine people.
So?
From
all young, healthy
diverse
people.
Areas in the city here.
They're all young, healthy people.
In the tri-state area.
Please. And the only old guy in there is
I'll
Dave.
I'll tell you the truth. Yeah. Part of me, seriously, sincerely, I don't want to be the last man to die on the battlefield.
So you are nervous.
No, I'm not nervous, but I'm like, they want me to. And B, there's a scintilla of a possibility that I could contract it if I don't wear the
Bernie,
mask.
How far are you sitting from me right now?
I know.
I took three trains yesterday. I did not wear a mask.
I take that chance with you, and I've been doing that since the beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah.
And you've been taking the subways every day.
Every day.
And we haven't missed a day.
And I had restaurants open for me, to be honest, during the closures. I had gyms open for me. I had other places open for me. I have done everything wrong, and you sit 2 feet from me every day.
And you yell. I mean, the spittle coming out of you,
right.
It flies more than 6 feet.
Hits you right in the face.
And I'm 2 feet, 3 feet away from you.
So what are you talking about? So you're worried that Matt Meaney's going to give it to you?
No, what am I going to sit here like Joe Biden and wear a mask on the air? No. I can't do that. I won't do that. Plus, I wasn't even worried. I never was worried about it. And I'm still not worried about it.
You sound worried.
No, I'm not. But when I go down there and I see all these people wearing their masks.
They're misguided.
So I slap one on. Big deal.
But why don't you instead?
I'll take my chances with you, but not with them.
These are the biggest chances with me. No one in there can. Mia Raftery's not going to give you the.
How do you know?
The virus.
How do you know?
Because she's young and fine.
Look, the thing is...
See, you're talking about two sides. So you're actually on nervous.
No. Look, speaking of Pete Morgan,
yeah.
Arthur Idala, all these guys, Corey Zelnick,
yeah.
They brought in masks, and they dropped them off.
They bring in masks to promote their companies.
So I'm loaded.
They don't even wear the masks.
I'm loaded to the gills with masks.
They promote their companies.
So what I do is I put it on before we go into the meeting. That's it.
Well,
and then when I go out to Long Island,
thank you for that,
I do not wear a mask. Once I get outside, I don't wear a mask.
Okay, so you're proving my point. Your inconsistencies.
That's right. I am inconsistent here.
So what are we doing? Let's join together and say we're not going to, like Texas and Mississippi.
It's over.
I
will pick my battles, and this is not going to be one of them.
Not going to be one.
For you, apparently, it is.
No, because when I get suspended for the third time, and I'm home not getting paid for 4 days, and I call you, you can laugh about it and say, hey.
By the way, before any protocols or guidelines were delivered to us, I was doing it anyway.
I know you were.
I'm not reacting to a certain...
No, you're not. No, and to your credit, it's not that you're following the rules. You've been acting like this the whole time, which is mealy-mouthed, inconsistent, and very disappointing.
What am I doing here?
I got a guy sitting in the newsroom right now. I'm not going to mention his name. He's done time for dealing drugs. He's wearing a mask. I mean, what are you doing? Yeah. Sorry, Mike.
Well, he has to. What's he going to do?
Well, I don't know. I don't see anybody else in this side of this section of the office wearing a mask.
They're going to.
They're going to have to?
I believe so. Okay. I don't know. I mean... That's my understanding.
Okay.
That's my understanding. Hey, speaking of snowflakes and soft people.
Like you.
Your boy, Shaquille O'Neal.
What? My boy? You love Shaquille.
He called out, and I always talk about the prima donnas when I do the Trinity Rehab commercials, about the prima donnas in the NBA and the NFL and all that stuff. I just say it, but it turns out Shaquille O'Neal actually agrees with me. He said this about his, about the current crop of NBA players. Take a listen.
Like, you know, a lot of people take flack. When I take flack, a lot of people right now, you're too hard on the youngsters. Well, I'm just doing what was done to me. I can remember when I was averaging 30, 35 in L.A., but we'd always get swept. And the great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar said, hey, he hasn't won a championship yet. Did I whine? Did I cry? Did I complain on social media? Nope, I didn't say anything because Kareem Abdul-Jabbar had G14 classification to say that. What am I going to do? Have a dispute with the greatest NBA player ever? So when he said that, when he gave me constructive criticism, I took it and I listened and I brought my game to another level. So these guys now, they're pudding pops. You say something about them. Oh, church.
So that essentially, you're calling me a pudding pop. He's obviously borrowing from Bill Cosby. The pudding pop, the pudding pops, yes, the pudding pops, kids, eat it. Shaquille O'Neal calling these, and they are spoiled, these guys.
They are.
Come on, give me a break.
I mean, I don't mind them when they're spoiled. There's a lot of players that are spoiled. I don't like guys like Kyrie Irving. It's not being spoiled. It's being hateful, divisive, and stupid.
That, you have that as well, of course.
That's what spoiled. The athletes have been. If Shaq doesn't think he was spoiled, who was he kidding? Are you kidding me?
Between
L.A. and Miami? He was spoiled.
I agree, but it seems to, as the years go by, it gets more and more they get spoiled. I mean, of course they were spoiled. Well, Clyde Frazier was spoiled as well. And then it got progressively worse and to the point where now they're so pampered and so insulated. But yes, the worst, of course, is that when they show disrespect and ingratitude to the company, to, excuse me, the country that gave them this cushy lifestyle.
Yeah. Let me tell you about Shaq, okay? Corey Zdolnik says, F you. I'm not promoting anything. I care about you and Bernie. We know. We love you, too. Shaq got traded to Miami to play with Dwayne Wade. He won all those championships with Kobe Bryant in Los Angeles, blah, blah, blah. He gets traded to Miami, and Pat Riley's the coach, and he's thrilled to death. Well, Pat Riley decides, I'm not coaching anymore. I got a young guy on my staff. His name is Stan Van Gundy. He's going to coach. The Heat are 10-10. Shaq gets hurt. Shaq is coming back after 20 games, and he goes into Riley's office, and he says, let me tell you something, you mother effer. I didn't sign here in Miami to play for a guy named Stan Van Gundy. I signed here to play for you. You know what happened? Van Gundy got fired because Shaq was only going to play for Pat Riley.
Good.
Well, that's spoiled. You play for whoever your coach is. They're giving you a ton of money. You're in Miami, and you go and you get the guy fired. That's kind of spoiled, no?
I don't think so.
No, okay.
He wanted to play for the best.
I guess that's what we did to Schwab, so.
Pretty much. Yeah, no, that's not spoiled.
Okay.
Yeah, you're saying that he went and he defied the management, and you're saying that's spoiled. Well, that's kind of like what you're doing, right? No, a little bit of.
Yeah, but I admit I'm spoiled. I'm spoiled rotten.
All right, that's fine.
Yeah, that comes with the whole package. Spoiled rotten.
Well, it's going to be an interesting day.
Well, we'll see what happens. You're going to want to tune in later. The mother-daughter combination of Letitia and Jen Romero, maskless, out of Staten Island, in studio next.
That's terrible.
All right, we'll play Pete Bernie coming up next segment. I'll take a contestant at the end of this segment. We've got a couple of beautiful ladies. That's why I'll stop at the risk of becoming the next Andrew Cuomo. Live in studio right now, one being Letitia Romero. I want you to know that Frank Morano, who's a Staten Island native, who does the overnight show here. He's a big fan of yours, so.
A big fan of his.
Well, that's two strikes against you. And then, and with Letitia is her daughter, Jen, who I've become very friendly with. Actually, it was Jen and real Tina, but Tina's angry with me. I have no idea why. No, do I care? I love her to death, but she's angry. So it's nice to see both of you ladies. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you. Yep.
Jen, let's start with you. Today, the big news is this insurgence that's going to happen. Many people are going to die. It's going to be the worst day in the history of this country.
President Trump will be inaugurated.
That's right.
So it's going to be a great day.
Oh, it's going to be a great day.
They're going to storm the Capitol again. It's going to happen all over again.
Right.
But this time.
It'll be worse this time.
Yes, it's going to be worse for them.
Right. Nothing's going to happen today, but on a serious note, you were there on January 6th, and you and I spoke on January 7th.
Yeah.
And you weren't all that happy. I don't want to put words in your mouth because, again, I made Tina angry. But tell us, you were there, what you witnessed, and how you feel since.
I was there on the other side of the Capitol building. I was by the reflective pool, so we heard a lot of noise. It was kumbaya on our side. We were on the lawn nowhere near the building, like all the way by where the reflecting pool is.
But by the way, they said there were hundreds of that.
There might have been
25,000, 30,000, maybe.
There was quite a few people at the whole thing itself.
Okay.
But we went to drop the Nancy Pelosi flag. We didn't even listen to Trump speak, actually. We went straight to the Capitol with the flag just outside on the street. We heard tons of noise. We thought it was like fireworks. We didn't know what was really going on the front side of the Capitol.
Wow.
So on the back side of the Capitol,
How far away from it? You've got yards?
A thousand yards.
Good distance.
So I couldn't throw a rock, put it that way, at the building. But we did see after Trump stopped speaking, we saw some people go around. We didn't know where they went, but then we saw swarms of people.
Did anybody ask you to go with them? Hey,
no.
Come with us. None of that.
No. I was only with Tina. Yeah, no. No one asked us. Like I said, there was older people. You know, there's some kids. It was a quiet side of the Capitol. And then when I saw it on the news, when we walked back to the hotel, I said, that doesn't even look like where we were.
Wow.
And it wasn't.
Yeah,
because it was the other side.
My sister-in-law had the same experience.
Yeah.
She said it was peaceful, it was loving, kids, old people, everything. And then she was getting texts from people, are you okay?
Yeah.
She's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
And so anyway, whatever. Today, the fake news, they're going to do it again. Nothing is going to happen. Absolutely nothing. Yesterday, one of the top FBI ladies, she actually testified. Remember they were saying it was an armed insurrection?
Yeah.
The lady testified yesterday. She said they did not apprehend one person with a gun. They found no arms whatsoever. So it wasn't an insurrection, but damn sure was not an armed insurrection.
Exactly.
Right, you didn't know any of it.
No.
Right, okay. Now, Leticia, let's get to you for a second. Were you worried? Were you there?
I was there. I went for the flag drop. Look, you know, here's the thing. There was lots of things going on in Washington that day. Not just that. We left well before we knew anything was going on. The idiots that went into that Capitol, whatever their intention, nobody knows. They're idiots, right? They should have never gone in. That was not what that was about. And now those who were caught are going to be prosecuted, and I'm sure everybody's going to be caught. At the end of the day, though, this stuff today about, you know, this fake inauguration, it's just more hype to keep those armed guards around that Capitol, keep that cage up, keep people, you know, uncomfortable in this nation. And that's a damn sin.
To perpetuate the fake narrative that all Trump supporters are domestic terrorists.
Absolutely.
That guy in the Viking hat, believe me, he was no Che Guevara. He was just a weirdo is what he was.
And it's all we hear is about him, right? They pick the most obscure, ridiculous guy to focus on. And
right. And
we can't stand for it. You know, Americans, 74 million Americans voted for President Trump. I personally think he went to Washington for what I sent him for, right? I think he was a good president, and I think he did his job. We need to move on now, though, because if he was so bad, why is Biden and all the administration and the Congress still talking
right,
about him?
Right. Well, that does bring a question to you, Jim, because when I spoke to you after the riot, you were considering joining another party, the Patriot Party. All these things were coming up. And if I'm giving out secrets I shouldn't, you didn't tell me beforehand, so I'm sorry.
No.
But so you seem like you were a little disenchanted with what was going on. Where are you today in terms of party affiliation, how you feel about what's going on, and President Trump?
With President Trump, again, fiscally, I was all for him 1,000%. Socially, not so much. I mean, that's a lot of people's, you know, thing. I thought he was a great president for the country, the last patriotic president we'll ever see. But yes, I was.
So you appreciated his substance, but not his style necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, right. No bedside manner, granted,
right.
But
right.
That's besides the point. I mean, I really wanted to leave. I felt disappointed in him. You know, and again, I was listening to the news of what was being said because I didn't see him speak. I didn't hear the speech. I wasn't there when that happened. I was by the Capitol. But I wanted to join the Patriot Party, but I can't. And I was telling you until June because my mother's running for borough president and I have to stay Republican so that I can vote for her in the primary. She goes, what are you doing? You can't leave.
Well, listen, you change parties from the inside, right? You know, so we're Republicans. You change parties from the inside. Even the president himself said, you know, we're not starting a new party. And that's, you know, why I'm running for office. I mean, in Staten Island, we went for President Trump without a doubt. We are a conservative borough. We're different than the other boroughs, and I'm running for Staten Island borough president because I would like to make sure that people want to stay in Staten Island. I want to support law enforcement. I want to make sure that kids get vocational training in high school. I want to make sure that property taxes go down and our neighborhoods stay the same, and that's what President Trump, you know, his philosophy was to get people prepared for life.
Yeah, no, indeed, agreed. So you're running for Staten Island Borough President, Leticia Romero, in studio with her daughter, Jen Romero. And Staten Island, yes, the stronghold. We got Nicole Malliotakis has kicked out that little weasel. What was his name?
Max Rose.
Max Rose, get him out. Mini Max, bye-bye. So Staten Island is strong. So what are your prospects? I mean,
We're going to win.
Yeah. Well, there's only two people running right now, you and the other person.
Right. We have a Republican primary, but I just received the conservative endorsement, so I have a guaranteed line in November. So I'm running as a Republican conservative, and I'd be the first female borough president ever.
Is that right?
That is right.
That's a big
I'm
deal.
I'm the first female to run and actually have a campaign for borough president.
Wow. That's exciting. Yeah, so and you are going to win.
I am going to win. There's no doubt that I'm going to win. And listen, I don't need this job. I want this job. And I have to tell you, the career politicians have kind of screwed up not only Staten Island, but New York City. I'm a businesswoman. I do have experience. I worked for mayors, governors, and President Bush, who I'm not too happy with these days, but I liked him when I worked for him.
Right.
So I have the experience to do the job, but I come from a business background. And, you know, like so many small business owners who've been struggling, my business has been struggling. But meanwhile, the career politicians, every 2 weeks, they take the paycheck.
I think that the borough president of Staten Island is not where you're going to stop. I know Curtis Sliwa, for example. He's been endorsed for mayor on Staten Island by the Republican Party. And I got to think that once you win this and serve out that term, that maybe you go from the first woman borough president. Maybe mayor is next.
Well, let's start with borough president, and we'll start with the primary on June 22nd. And if you guys endorse me, like John Katsimatidis endorsed me, I know that I am going to sail to victory.
You got it.
Oh, it's already done.
Yeah. Right here, live on the Bernie and Sid show. So everybody in Staten Island needs to come out and get petition signatures for my campaign. You can go to romaro4sibp.com and
just don't make me go to Max Pub or something to hang out.
No, we have a great headquarters right in the heart of Bricktown Center Shopping Plaza.
Nice.
And so we can go to eat. We got the cinemas there. They're going to open soon.
Do you get discounts at the Victory Motor Inn? Pretty much.
And you get a blue light.
Hey, on a serious note, Staten Island is sometimes talk about seceding from New York City. Where do you fall on that?
Well, listen, the problem is that we only have three city council members representing us. And so unless we change the charter to get a weighted vote for by city council members, we will never have a fair shake in Staten Island. So if it comes to that, I would secede. I would want to see us secede. But there's a couple of options we have before we secede. Right. But I think we should run that parallel track. And I'm exploring those other options.
Well, listen, I don't want you to secede because we need your votes.
We do.
Here in the city.
Right.
You do. You need our conservative balance.
Absolutely.
You need our money.
We need your money.
Yeah, right.
We need John Tobacco. By the way, I love you.
Thank you.
You're great.
You.
So does Bernie. Jen, on the way out, you're wearing the F.K. Cuomo shirt.
Yes.
I often wear my F.K. de Blasio shirt, which you gave me. Thank you for that. I want a Cuomo shirt, too. But I know that you just rail on this guy every opportunity on Instagram, every place else. I mean, I think you find him maybe to be the most repulsive person ever. That's the feeling I get from you.
De Blasio is, actually. But now I have to be nice to him, sort of, because he's giving crap to Cuomo. So I'm like, oh, God.
Right.
He's
actually more well-liked now because Cuomo.
I know. Yeah. No, but Cuomo, listen, if I say what I want to say, I'm going to get in a lot of trouble. he really did use his arrogance, and he's just a narcissist. He's pig-headed. He used it to destroy New York, and it's just amazing how all of a sudden they want him to step down, Broadway is opening. This is opening. Here's 33%. You can open up events. Come on. Really?
He's a smug thug.
Oh, he is.
Arrogant. You know what he is? He's a punk. Yeah. That's what he is.
I will tell you something.
You have to just
beginning of COVID, I was like, oh my God, like
so
I would totally be with him.
We loved him
because I didn't think it's because I was locked in the house
for about 2 days.
No, we had in all seriousness, we had like a 10-day period.
Yeah.
But we were like, this guy is more presidential than this guy. This guy's great, and him and I are like, he's great. He's great. It lasted about 10 days.
But the hoax has been exposed.
Yeah.
He
Thank
is
God.
Just a total a loser.
Have you ever been to a wedding where he tried to kiss you?
No.
How about you, Letitia?
No.
Just say yes.
No.
Hey, by the way, if you want to get these F. Cuomo sweatshirts, it is thepatriotmall.com.
There you have it.
Thepatriotmall.com.
That's right. Yep. Now, on the way out, and Jen, you're always fantastic. Thank you. Letitia, one more time for the audience out there. Why should they vote for you, and what are you promising Staten Islanders?
I'm law enforcement, fixing the traffic problems, getting rid of the speed light cameras and red light cameras.
Absolutely.
Getting kids, high school kids, vocational training so they can go into the jobs that New York City has, running
the
carpentry and all that stuff. And also, we just released that I'm calling for a special monitor for the money we're getting from the feds to come to New York City for COVID, because we can't trust de Blasio after Thrive NYC and after renewal, that $1.6 billion. I want a federal investigation about that money, and I want a federal monitor for the money that we get here. He should not be allowed to spend
it. I love it.
Well, you brought her in. Letitia Romero, folks, running for borough president of Staten Island. Letitia Romero and her beautiful daughter, Jen. 1-800-848-WABC. That's the number. Looking for a contestant for Beat Bernie, brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. 1-800-848-9222. That's coming up next. Thank you.
Now it's time to Beat Bernie.
It's time to Beat Bernie.
Sponsored by Peerless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters.
You think you can beat Bernie?
Good luck.
It's time to Beat Bernie.
So it is time to Beat Bernie, brought to you again by Pete Morgan and the fine folks at Peerless Boiler. Still cold out there, folks, so you don't want to get rid of that Peerless. Actually, you do want to get a new Peerless Boiler or tank-type water heater.
From personal experience, you should have gotten it 4 months ago,
right,
people. But still, get it now for next year.
Well said, Matt. Bernie can attest to that, too. Before we get to the game, I want to take one quick call. Marie in Lodi, California, on line three, only because she agrees with me. It's my ego. Hi, Marie. How are you, sweetie?
Hey, how's it going, guys? This is Maria calling from Lodi, California. I listen to you guys every morning. You're the best show in the United States.
Thank you.
I can't believe this whole mask thing for you guys, especially for you, Sid. It just breaks my heart. And I had to call in because I love Bernie, too. But I just think that the station to say you have to wear a mask is just silly and insane. This is America, and we should be free. And we've been in California locked down for 50 weeks, and it's just, it's enough.
Thank you.
You got to go back and live life. So thank you guys for all you do. I love you guys, and just keep it real.
Love you too, Marie, and that's my point. Last I checked, I lived in America. You're not going to tell me what to do. And don't tell me I'm insensitive. I couldn't hurt a bug. I start crying when I watch the Flintstones. There's nobody more sensitive than Sid Rosenberg. Nobody. Nobody handing out bags to the homeless, delivering kids toys to kids in pediatric cancer wards every Christmas. Don't tell me I'm being insensitive. But this is stupid already. This is nonsense. I live in America. If I don't want to wear a mask, I'm not going to wear one. You can't make me. And until you can really prove to me scientifically, which no one has been able to yet, nobody, not Sapphire, not Dr. Oz, not Mark Siegel, nobody, that these things really save lives, I'm not doing it. Anyway, let's play the game. Nick is in North Arlington, New Jersey. Nick, what do you say, brother?
Hey, how you doing? How you doing, Bernie?
I'm good. You hanging in there?
Yeah.
You work for a utility company, for a big-time power company?
Correct.
All right, cool. You guys do a lot of hard work. You guys, you know, we got it cushy here. I wear Joseph Abu jackets, and I talk on the radio for 5 hours a day. You son of a bitches. You guys are out there, and, you know, like real tough guys.
As a rough winter, a lot of bad weather, yeah.
Well, thank you for the hard work that you do for being. You probably like wear a flannel shirt, right?
Yeah, a lot of sweatshirts.
Real men, my man Nick in North Arlington, New Jersey. Well, thank you, buddy. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Yes.
Here's your first question. What was the nickname of the shanty towns that many displaced Americans lived in during the Great Depression? Was it A, Bummer Cities, B, Hoovervilles, C, FDR Dumps, or D, Misery Bays?
Wow. What was the first one?
The first one was Bummer Cities.
Wow. I'm going to go with the first one.
Wrong, you two-legged back of
an incorrect. Oh, my buddy Louisa checks in. He says, good morning, guys. On my way to get the vaccine, the Moderna is what they got. One today, then 4 weeks the other. Have a great day. Good luck to you, Lou. I'm glad you're getting it. He's in his 70s, former great boxer. Great boxer, big boxing trainer. So best of luck to you, Lou, with that. I know Hesh Jorgenbaum just got his, too. Moderna. All right, Oprah one. Here's number two. What was Adolf Hitler's nationality?
Nationality? Austrian?
Yeah. Nicely done. I would have gotten that one wrong. Number three, Nick. What instrument did notorious gangster Al Capone play in the prison band at Alcatraz? Was it A, the banjo, B, the harmonica, C, the saxophone, or D, drums?
What was the I didn't hear the question. I'm sorry.
What instrument did Al Capone play in prison? The banjo, the harmonica, the sax, or drums?
Harmonica.
Incorrect.
Wrong, you two-legged back of
that. Funny answer. Maybe he did once or twice. Hey, now. Number four. What did American activist Margaret Sanger establish in 1916 that got her thrown in jail for 30 days?
Wow. Margaret Sanger in 1916?
1916.
Oh, my God.
I'm drawing a blank. All right. We have to move on. And finally, which of the following countries are not part of the European Union? Is it A, Germany, B, France, C, Norway, D, Sweden? I'll give you a hint. It's C.
C.
All righty. Way to go, Nick. I want you to be in the game. You're a nice guy. So what do you get, two right or three right? Two right?
Two right.
Give him three. All right. Hold on, Nick. We'll get Bernie in here. That hint was a bit much, no?
I don't know. I don't know how Bernie's going to do that. That Capone one's not very easy.
None of these are easy.
No, but we'll see.
I got to get the vaccine. Louisa getting Moderna today. If I get the vaccine,
the vaccine.
Then I don't have to wear any masks and all that. That's
well, Joe Biden wears a mask.
Joe Biden got
vaccinated a month ago.
He's an idiot. I mean, seriously, God bless him. He should literally, he's 108. The man's an idiot.
He's an imbecile.
Yes, he is. You ready to go?
Yeah.
You need three right to win today's game.
Okay.
What was the nickname of the shanty towns that many displaced Americans lived in during the Great Depression, Bernie? Was it A, Bummer Cities?
Hooverville.
Yeah. Very good.
Thank you.
See, that reminds me too much of like Dr. Seuss. Didn't the Grinch live in a Hooverville or something? Or
yeah, I believe so. Whoville.
Oh, Whoville.
Yes, every who down in Whoville.
Very good. That's John O'Halloran from downtown.
But then, that's
what the kids learned at Xavier in Cincinnati.
He confirms he's a racist.
Of course he is.
He's a Dr. Seuss fan.
Well, he went to college in Cincinnati. Come on. That's all you need to know.
What's wrong with Cincinnati?
Oh, Pete Rose played there.
It's actually a liberal town.
Very liberal, yeah. What was Adolf Hitler's nationality?
Austrian.
Very good. You're like so obnoxious about it when you get it today.
What? I'm obnoxious.
Like you made a face.
What should I say? Austrian? What do you want me to do?
I want you to phrase it in a question.
Okay.
What was the
country of?
Austria. If you get one of these next three right.
Same as
win.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, by
okay.
the way.
He is from Austria.
That's right. His dad was an Austrian Nazi.
What was the name of that game that Stern used to play? And he had the guy from Austria. It was, name the Jew, come on, Kurt, very famous Austrian guy, very famous.
Kurt Eichner?
Not Kurt Eichner.
Kurt Wall.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, yeah,
he
was the UN, the head of the UN.
No.
Kurt Waldheim.
Waldheim.
Kurt Waldheim.
There you go.
Kurt.
Very good. All right, one of these next three and you win. Bernie, what instrument did notorious gangster Al Capone play in the prison band at Alcatraz? A, the banjo, B, the harmonica, C, the sax, D, the drums.
Shoot. It's a total guess, a harmonica.
That's an e-guess, too. And I said maybe two or three times, but on a serious note, he played the banjo.
It's funny, and I just last night read about Al Capone in Alcatraz, Bill O'Reilly's
book?
Killing the Mob. Just last night.
Did he mention in the book that he played the banjo?
No, did not. Right. Thanks, Bill.
Yeah, thanks. What did American activist Margaret Sanger establish in 1916 that got her thrown in jail for 30 days?
Well, she is the... it was Planned Parenthood. But Margaret Sanger is the head of... She founded Planned Parenthood. What do you want me to say?
I want you to say she was responsible for the first birth control clinic, but Planned Parenthood was close enough.
Right. And by the way, she was an ardent racist.
Yeah.
I mean, some people shouldn't be having babies.
Okay.
Just remember that.
All right. You've already won today's game 3-2, but here's your chance to go 4 out of 5. Which of the following countries are not part of the European Union? Is it A, Germany, B, France, C, Norway, or D, Sweden?
I'd have to go with Sweden.
Nope.
Wrong, you're two-legged.
Norway. All right. Final score is 3-2. Bernie still wins. Bernie, say hello to Nick from North Arlington, New Jersey.
Sup, Nick?
Hey, Bernie. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Nick. Thanks. How you doing out there in North Arlington?
Good. Good. I tell you, these questions were a little hard today. I usually do better when I'm just listening.
Yeah. What are you going to do? I mean, Norway, Sweden, what the hell? It's the same thing, right? By the way, they were the same country until the earlier part of this century, Sweden and Norway. And then Norway broke away. See, I'm just bragging right here, even though I got the question wrong.
Yeah.
Anyway, you gave it a good try, Nick, so I wouldn't be ashamed. So we appreciate you playing, appreciate you listening. How you doing out there in Jersey? You getting along?
Yeah, it's good. You know, busy working, a lot of work. Work in utilities, so been busy.
All right, well, just don't get electrocuted, okay, bro?
No.
Okay.
All right, man.
Thank you, Nick.
As every day, love the show.
All right, we love you.
Appreciate it.
We'll end the show as we do every day now on the phones, 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. We wrap up what's been a great Thursday edition with you folks. Your chance to talk to Bernie and Sid is next.
Beat Bernie, sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters on 77 WABC.
All right. Thursday. I used to watch a show on Thursday nights. Wednesday nights, of course, I'm all caught up in Real Housewives of New Jersey. Third episode was last night, and the girls were great. But I used to watch a show when I was younger, a teenager, Bernie. Tuesday nights, I had Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley, Three's Company, and Heart to Heart. That was my Tuesday night deal. Thursday nights, I watched a show starring a guy named Robert Urich. I think he died of cancer. He's gone a long time now. He actually did a great job playing. Dave Labrosi would like this. He played former Pittsburgh Steeler running back, Vietnam War hero Rocky Blyer. You know, Rocky Blyer lost a toe fighting for this country and still rushed for 1,000 yards alongside Franco Harris.
See
with
that?
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
And Colin Kaepernick is whining.
Right, exactly. But Robert Urich used to be this detective. He lived in Vegas. And the name of the show was Vegas. And it was on Thursday nights. And for some reason, I remember it like it was yesterday. That was my Thursday night viewing. And then, of course, after that, they had that nonsense with Friends. That was a big Thursday night deal, which I never watched. I love Jen Addison. I think she's adorable. But I never watched that show.
I never watched it.
I hate every guy on that show. I hate them all.
By the way, it's called White Friends.
White Friends.
And I never thought it was funny. Never watched it.
It was corny.
And
right, corny.
I avoided it assiduously.
Me too. You know. I couldn't stand David Schwimmer. He looks like a douchebag. I never liked, who's the kid that's now fat? He looks terrible. Matthew Perry. Matt LeBlanc had his own show afterwards. You know who was on his show after? Dre DiMatteo. She's going to join us next week. The one who played Christopher's girlfriend on Sopranos.
Right.
And that was a terrible show. Terrible.
Wait, now he's on another show. Not the Sopranos.
The NBC show he did after Matt. And then now he's doing another show. And he plays like a tool guy, and his brother is somebody famous. I forget who it is.
Didn't he have big problems?
No, Matt Perry had the big problems. He got all fat and drugs and... Matthew Perry.
LeBlanc, not so much.
Not so much. He's actually done well. He's the only one that's still on TV, as far as I know. Courtney Cox does nothing. And the tall doofus, what was her name? Lisa Kudrow. She could haunt a two-family house. God. You want to say something about that, Joe? That is Matt Meany's right up his alley. I could see him sitting around watching Friends with his...
Actually,
doofy.
Not a big Friends guy. You know who is, though? It's Kyrie Irving. He has a tattooed on his arm.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Well, but they invited black people on the show, and he's a racist.
I know. Somebody should tell him.
You don't understand. He wasn't woke back then.
Oh, that's what it was.
You see, that's what the term woke means.
Oh. Just,
you got to wake up.
Wake up!
Okay. Get enlightened and realize that racism is all around you.
Yeah. Well, you know what's good is I'm going to use that now because I've been offered tickets to go to Brooklyn Nets games. And I really want to go. They're great. They won again last night. They're the number two seed. They may win the NBA championship. But the reason why I don't really want to go is because I don't want to start getting tested 5 days before a basketball game and go like three times. I don't want to do that. But instead of using that as an excuse because people get mad because I'm not sensitive enough, I'm just going to say I don't like Kyrie Irving. Because you've taught me not to like him, and you're right. So.
Well, he's a screwball. He's a half a...
No, it's not. It's worse than a screwball.
He's missing games.
He's divisive.
And I pointed out that he wants to change the logo because they have a white guy on the NBA logo named Jerry West. And he said it should be Kobe Bryant or somebody like that. Somebody black who, or whatever. Because he called himself... We're the Kings.
The Black Kings.
We're the Black Kings.
He's a racist.
And of course,
well, he did think that was unfortunate. Yes, that's fine.
People pointed out. I pointed out. Yeah, I read the Washington Post column that said Kobe's not a good candidate for that because of A, the rape thing,
right?
B, the fact that
that little thing
that he was actually against Black Lives Matter.
He was
initially.
That's true.
And there was one other thing which escapes me. Right, it doesn't really matter.
Right. Randy is in Croton, New York, on line four. Hi, Randy.
Hey guys, how are you?
How are you, Pat?
How you doing, bro?
I'm good. I listen to you guys every single day.
Thank you.
And I want you to know, I think you're both fantastic. Sid, you're the hardest working guy on the radio.
Thank you, Bernie.
I like you because you're a harp, okay? You're Irish, so am I.
My man.
I want to say something. I watched that Dre DiMatteo recently on this Lilo Brancato special on Netflix.
I wanted to watch it. It was good?
Very, very good. Really good. You guys should watch it. It's something to watch. You know, the kid got all screwed up. But anyway, I wanted to call to tell you guys I admire you guys, and your show is great.
Well, Randy, thank you very much. We appreciate that. We can never get enough of that, so thank you.
Yeah, no, we like that. And, yes, Lilo Brancato, of course, is he's the accused cop killer.
He was. He played C in A Bronx Tale.
Right. He played
Chaz's
character as a kid.
Right. Right. And then that's right. He was Chaz, and it's ironic we had Joe DiNofrio on earlier today. But what do you got going on there, Bernie?
Weekends sound best on 77 WABC. Two of the biggest names in music are on WABC. The legendary Cousin Brucey. He's here Saturday nights from 6 to 10, playing the hits that made us famous, followed at 10 o'clock by Tony Orlando with the stories, songs, and artists that made the hits. So tie a yellow ribbon around your weekend with 77 WABC. Hey, let's go to Jimmy in Brooklyn. What the hell? Good morning, Jimmy.
Hi, good morning.
What's up, buddy?
What up, Jim?
Yeah. God, I would like to know why Governor Cuomo didn't use the hospital ship.
Oh,
had
God.
2,000 beds.
Yeah, we had Jacob Javits Center. He had the ship that Donald Trump sent. He didn't use anything.
He didn't want to make Trump look good.
Yeah, basically.
Bottom line.
He wasn't getting paid when he sent folks to those safe havens. He wasn't getting paid. The hospitals, I should say. So there's no money trail to the Jacob Javits Center or that ship you're talking about. The nursing homes, different story. Somebody was getting paid.
There's a lot of questions. But yeah, he freed up the hospital beds so that they can get people other than Medicare patients. Medicare does not pay enough.
Correct.
And this is one possible motive that is being explored.
Which, by the way, I got to give you credit for, because from day one you said there's got to be something else. He's not that stupid and he's not that evil.
But he is corrupt.
Correct. And money always follow the money trail. That's it, folks. We're done. We hope you enjoyed the Thursday edition. Got a great show coming your way tomorrow. Go out there and enjoy your Thursday. We'll be back again tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. So from all of us on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show to all of you, until then, peace!